All right, I think we're recording.
Great.
I think we're good to go.
Finally.
Yeah, finally.
It has happened to me right in front of my face, and I just can't deny it.
Go for it.
Oh, my.
Suddenly, it has happened to me.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
That's right.
You idiots.
All right. Go ahead.
We should make a song, just a tribute to Pat Buck with just you idiots on every single
Get
line.
Get ready.
Get ready, boys.
All right, let's do this.
Oh, no.
Leroy Jenkins.
The fallout from Clash of the Champions, Monday Night Raw, War Chamber, and Kevin Gill joins us at 8:15, all next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Whoop, whoop!
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on Rant-EM Radio and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Find us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Our merchandise is available at ShiningWizards.com/merch. Do your Amazon shopping with us at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, thank you for your continued support and enjoy the show.
This is Darby Allin, and you're listening to Shining Wizards.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Hell yeah! Got there!
Ladies and gentlemen!
Oh, fuck you.
Direct and live from Studio A, it is the Shining Wizards, where Matthew and Kevin, the big losers of the week, stand and bask in the glory of perfection. The man who went 11-0 at Night of Champions, a champion in his own right, Shining Wizards, and your new leader, Tony!
How long did you have that set up for?
3 seconds before we started recording.
Fucking Tony.
Unbelievable!
For the second time this year.
Second time. Two time.
Wait a second.
Two time.
Go back to the one match. Becky Lynch, Sasha Bank.
Sasha won by DQ.
He picked Sasha?
Yes.
Yes, I did. And you know who else I picked, which was put on Monday night? King Corbin!
We don't count that, though.
No, that wasn't one of the matches.
No, but son of a bitch, I would have went 12-0.
All right, fucking tuck your dick back in.
Oh, fucking Tony went.
You want to know who won each match? I could probably tell you.
Tony with a clean.
God damn. Woo!
That's pretty impressive. I'll give it up, Tony.
I very impressed. The Rowan pick was probably...
That was the coup de grace.
That was the one.
That's like he just took his balls out and just slapped them on us.
That was it, man. I knew it. There was no way Reigns was winning that match. No, I would have never have called Luke Harper coming back in a million years, though, because I thought he was done. I thought they were just letting him just sit out and be miserable, but it was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Now, Kevin, I know you're a little concerned.
No, right? I'm not going to. I guaranteed the annual victory. I'm not losing.
But you came in at a 6-5.
Oh, God, that's disgusting.
Yeah, you got a little cute with your
with
Miz
the Miz
pick.
And the women's stuff.
Well, the women's was a toss-up. That could have gone either way.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oof.
And I went 7-4.
Oh, mama.
But even with Tony going 11-0, you're only one game behind him.
Yeah, you know why? Because I ate my nuts last week for AEW or 2 weeks ago, whatever.
Yeah, how'd they taste?
They were pretty good. That's why I decided to feed them to you two this week.
Tried to share the wealth. The wealth nuts.
Wealth but man, nuts. 11-0, that's
pretty good.
I tipped my cap to you, my friend.
Yeah, that was good.
You hit it on the revival. That's
yes,
one that,
I did.
We all picked the New Day. Rowan was a big one.
Yeah.
And then Kevin lost with The Miz. He lost with Charlotte. And he lost with Becky.
Yeah.
And I went with the Becky and Sasha combo. Little did I know that it was going to be a disqualification.
Yeah,
but
with
hey,
the Bailey, yeah, so. Bailey and Sasha combo.
Yeah, well, did I not say that?
You said Becky.
Put a little.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not taking anything away from you, but the Sasha win was.
Win's a win.
I know, I get it.
We don't call them by DQs or like Matt tried to do with Undertaker.
I did try and get cute once.
A little, little Barry Bonds-ish.
Never try to get cute.
It's not Barry Bonds-ish. We picked the winners.
I know. I know.
Wait. I picked the winners. I picked all the winners.
I picked six. So did Winning Record. So did Matt.
Yeah. I did okay. Yeah. But I'm, you know, I get cute. I picked fucking.
Did you pick Cedric?
No, I picked new women's tag champions, which I failed miserably at. And I picked Randy Orton. If I hadn't picked those two, I think I would have. I mean, I know I would have had a better showing.
Well, clearly, because he would have got two more right.
Yes, Randy was a terrible choice, but it's those fucking. Like, Tony picked Rowan. That's a gamble. It paid off.
Yeah, but if you were paying attention, Roman Reigns took the loss.
There lies the problem. I don't pay attention to WWE.
He took the loss.
And
to
literally
Shane
5 seconds before we went on the air, you said that you haven't been watching.
Who, me?
Yeah.
But I'm an expert.
That's true.
I'm an expert at all these things, except for AEW, apparently.
I didn't have time today. I was going to isolate you last week when you were talking to Jay George. Where you going? Do you even know who I am?
Yeah, I didn't mean for it to sound like that. I knew I sounded like a dick, but he sort of let it slide, so I didn't want to, you know, sit there and...
Sometimes you have to remind people.
Yeah, like but I don't want to be a dick about it.
Why? I was.
I did it over the weekend like three different times.
I fucking told him he was wearing his sunglasses inside. He's either blind or a douchebag. I made fun of his outfit.
Yeah, and what did he do? He went home and he took some swag pictures of us.
He told me he was going to slap me, too, but he never fucking dared to cross the barrier. He knew I would have fucking put him right on his ass.
Oh, really? So is he the
I mean,
new
he's not here now, so I'll talk all the shit I need to.
Is he the new Bobby Lashley? Or
No. You can't replace that son of a bitch.
Can't teach that.
Son of a bitch.
But if you haven't listened, go back, listen to last week's episode with Thunderheart, Jay George. We don't really do a lot of current wrestling talk, but goddamn, we have fun. And for those of you interested in RCA Wrestling.
Yep.
Last week, we announced that we were signed by them.
That's right.
Right? This week, even bigger news.
Oh,
right?
I
we will
wait.
Now trump Jay George's monthly salary. They offered us $6,000 each.
$18,000 total a month.
That's right. And we will be signing October 1st, according to their Twitter. So,
you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of when like Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were in WCW and Jim Ross and Vince McMahon were bringing back Razor Ramon and Diesel, and WCW thought that it might be Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, so they offered them more money without even having another offer on the table.
Yeah, because they're dummies. Yeah. Dummy, yeah.
So we were already signed, and they offered us more money because they thought we might go somewhere else.
Yeah, we went from like $700 a month to $6,000.
Look at that.
Yeah, and you know, just in case you were wondering,
guaranteed contracts.
They're going to be on the Sci-Fi Network.
That's right.
They'll also be streaming on Hulu.
And they're going to be at the Los Angeles Staples Center.
Well, it looks like they changed it to Staples Center now. They fixed that.
Well, they're throwing around so much money, they made it plural.
Right. VIP tickets, $300. So
that ain't bad.
That's a lot of Skrilla. And
I'm sure we get a cut of that.
Oh, shit. Sprinkles the Bad Clown has joined.
Wait, Sprinkles?
Yeah.
Like Sprinkles?
Yeah.
Yes. That's
Joe Somar, he's got his own t-shirt. It looks like dog shit. Well,
he hasn't had the money behind him to design a new shirt yet.
I don't know. Oh, that's a promoted.
I was going to ask you if Odell Beckham Jr. was joining.
I mean, anything's possible. Tommy Moose.
Holy shit. Tommy Moose is looking pretty loose right there. Look at
that. Tommy Moose got them fucking titties. Look at them shits. Holy moly guacamoles. Dirtbag Dan.
Well, Dirtbag Dan, we knew.
Backwards, as always. Nice. From the 2019 issue. So, I mean, RC Wrestling's doing some big things. I got into a little Twitter spat with Anthony Bowens and LSG for not...
Uh-oh.
They didn't give us first shot at breaking the news, so...
Well, was it Anthony Bowens or Anthony Bowen?
What did I say?
It was Anthony Bowens, but I think he's going to be wrestling under the name Bowen now, isn't he?
Oh, is he? Is that what he's
saying?
So
now, are we exclusive to RCA, or can we still work our independent dates?
You know what? We didn't go over that, so I'm going to say let's work our independent dates, too, just in case.
We just gotta watch out. We don't get hurt.
Right. Well, the Staples Center is a big...
That's a big show.
If that falls through, though, you know...
I don't think it would. I was hoping one of you would pick up on that.
If that falls through, you know, at least we still have our independent bookings.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
But I'm really looking forward to the Staples Center, multiple Staples. I've never been out to L.A., so I'm excited.
like Los Angeles or Last Angeles?
Last Angeles. Last Action Hero, Los Angeles.
Yeah, not First Angeles, Los Angeles.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got a great, great episode tonight. Show. Kevin Gill's joining us at 8:15. He's going to catch us up on GCW. They did Bloodsport 2 this weekend.
Game down changer,
in Atlantic
baby.
City. And then
did our buddy Chris Dickinson?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk to Kevin Gill about that, and then he's going to we're talking Nick Gage.
Can he call now? I want to talk about it now.
Well, we're not going to talk about it now because we still have Clash of the Champions. Clash of Champions.
Clash of Champions, not the OG.
But I think we need to start in our own backyard. WrestlePro had a show Saturday.
Oh, mama, did they?
And sadly, I think the biggest takeaway from it was the big Cass news. And I think that overshadows how good of a show it was. Me and Kevin talked on the ride down. And for those of you living in a hole.
Cavern.
Cave.
Tavern. Face.
Big Cass apparently had a little altercation. He was a little not there. The lights were on, but nobody was home.
A little squirrelish.
He lost his sweater.
He never had a sweater.
Well, you didn't see it, so.
I saw him when he walked into the building. He did not. He was not wearing a sweater.
He could have lost it in the parking lot.
He had his blue Dunder Mifflin The Office t-shirt on, and he had his luggage. That was it. No sweater. So, I'm not calling him a liar. Maybe he had it on his luggage and I didn't see it. But the 8 times I saw him that night, he did not once have a sweater with him.
Now, did you see the altercation?
I did not.
Oh, boo.
Because there is, again, there's there's backstage, which is, I guess, quote unquote, for lack of a better term, gorilla position. And then there's one of those big gymnasium dividers that divides that position to the locker room. So apparently, I don't know where this happened. Apparently, it happened either in the locker room or they have several private rooms backstage too. So I did not see that, but I do know that something was going on because people were running around kind of rambunctiously. And then I heard a rumor that Enzo was there trying to find our friend Joey Janela, which turned out not to be true. But a lot of rumors were swirling as it was happening. So I did not see it, but I could tell you right now, from what I saw, Big Cass, he seemed fine when I got there. Seemed perfectly lucid, shaking hands, was perfectly fine, awesome. Couldn't be nicer. But then I noticed some odd behavior throughout the night. Like, he kept coming and going through the side door. He was drinking other people's beverages that were just on the table. It was just very bizarre. So I'm not surprised that it happened. Again, I don't know for a fact what happened, but I'm not surprised at all. They had to change a battle royal. It was supposed to be a big surprise. So, I mean, the crowd got chipped, if anything.
Yeah, he definitely made an impact.
He did.
He apparently was apparently slapped Joey Janela in the head.
And I can confirm that is true.
And then he went into back into the room where Pat, Buck, and SCU were, I guess, going over the match.
Yes, some of the top talent gets sequestered, so they're not changing with the rest of the boys.
Ooh, there's a hierarchy at WrestlePro.
No, there's no hierarchy.
You just said there was.
But it's SCU. If Jeff Jarrett or Kurt Angle or so-and-so came in, they put him in that side room. That's not a secret.
Well, they definitely didn't do that for the Rock and Roll Express because Matt was able to see their balls. I don't think he
Some guys don't care to go. I mean, some people don't mind. It's not a big deal. I don't think I'm breaking any fucking barrier here or breaking any secret in wrestling. Sometimes there are extra rooms available for people if they want to, you know, just chill.
So, or look for their sweater.
Yeah. So, yeah, anyway. I think I just interrupted Matt without even realizing.
No, you're good. So, a report I read was Pat was in a room with SCU there going over the match, and he just burst into the room and got in Pat's face and, like, backed him up against the wall. And Pat had no choice but to punch him in the face and then take him down. And then apparently other people came in and they dragged Cass outside, and the police were called.
But that's a terrible position for Pat to be in, because now he's got a contract. He's got a deal with WWE.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I guess, like, from what I read, Cass got in his face. He's like, what are you going to do, little man? Like, and Pat was, like, backed up against the wall. Like, clearly, he was threatened.
Yeah.
Pat's quiet, but Pat can, like, flip that switch, and I wouldn't want to fuck with him.
I'm
really?
Sorry.
Chirp, chirp.
Inappropriate.
Or inappropriate.
Yeah, but that's it.
Whatever.
But yeah, so like whatever like you read, like say like again, this is just like me, you gotta make fun of me. I defend him when he's wrong. But the most accurate description of what was reported from what I gathered from people there was Mike Johnson's story on PW Insider was pretty spot on from what I was told from people there because like I said, I was hanging out with the guys afterwards. I was with Joey Janela and he confirmed that big cast.
You just let Kevin drop a name?
Dude, I have so many name drops. You think you're 11-0. I'm going to go fucking 46-0 with name drops tonight.
The name drop master.
We got to get a drop. We actually get like a bloop. We got to get one on the old board ski. Or just keep saying stupid fucking question, Kevin.
Well, that's not a name drop, though.
That's close enough. That's all I got right now. But no, it was... It didn't make its way to me, but from what I understand, it was pretty wild.
Yeah, and then people took, you know, obviously fans are there. Someone took a picture of, like, Cass outside with the cops, like, sitting on the curb.
On the curb.
And then
I saw that picture. That's weird.
And then apparently they took him out, and then he came back in.
I don't know.
And then like, from the report I read, people were, like, super upset that he was there. So then they... Cops came and then they took him out and then they sat down and talked to him and then Cass started talking about hurting himself. So then they called an ambulance.
Okay. So that could sound right.
They had him taken away to be evaluated.
That could sound right. And listen, I mean, hopefully Cass is all right because he was a nice guy. Very nice.
He posted an apology today. He's got his demons. I mean, it's unfortunate.
And I've heard. I don't want to spread the rumors, but there was a bunch of stories circulating from people that were there about stuff that I can't confirm. So I don't even want to. But Kevin Matthews put on Twitter. Listen, if he gets his stuff together, he's welcome back at WrestlePro anytime, and hopefully he can. And he, like you said, he put out an apology, and Pat was looked at as a hero. So.
He stood up, you know. Look, you hear all these stories in the wrestling business about people not standing up for themselves. You know, what are you going to do? This guy's all fucked up. You're the
promoter. What are you going to do?
It's your big fucking show. You bring him in. You're going to give him a payday. You're going to give the fans something to get excited about, and then you show up like a fucking mess.
And that's what it was. The not only the fans, but the people that he was supposed to be in that match with, like they were having an opportunity to be like. Put on like some sort of level, like they could have probably got some like you
right,
know
you get a rub from you get a rub from being, in the,
from,
ring
from being in the ring with Big Cass. Maybe, granted, obviously, I'm assuming the spot was he was just going to come in and beat up a lot of students or something.
Sure,
like that.
But if he beats somebody up and they take an awesome bump, yeah. I mean, you've heard stories about people who are just like, I was just doing enhancement work and so and so liked the way I bumped, so I got to do matches yeah. against so
and
so.
And that was a moment that was taken away from some of these kids, which stinks.
Did you guys see the apology that he put out?
Yes,
I did.
Okay. Cool.
Did.
And if he is honestly battling depression and he wasn't just being a jerk that night, then, you know, I hope he's better. But he was acting very, very squirrelish. He was supposed to be a big surprise and kept walking in and out in plain view of the fans at least 3 or 4 times. So I thought that was kind of weird. But it doesn't overshadow how great that show was, by the way. It doesn't overshadow the amazing night that ended the show and all the matches that were on it. So just
yeah, I know we
clear.
Have new we have a new silver champion, friend of the show, LSG.
LSG, baby.
We have new WrestlePro Tag Team Champions, Danny Doring and
Old
Big
Man
Deal,
Doring.
Craig Steele.
The Dastardly Steel is their team name.
That's a terrible
So that's pretty exciting.
I think Dastardly Deal would be better. Right?
Dastardly I mean, nothing's set in stone, right?
It's set in steel.
Ah,
I got an idea. Steel door.
Oh gosh! Quit while you're ahead, Tony.
I just started.
No, you already went 11-0. You're done. You filled your quota.
That's
for the rest
it.
Of your
I'm
life.
Done for the night. All right. Good night, everyone.
Tony's gonna go help his kid with homework.
Hey, here's an idea. Help Matt and Kevin come up with a name for their show. See you later.
Our show? Sure.
Matt and Kevin do a podcast.
There you go. Yeah, that's much better than steel door.
Dummy. Yeah.
Oh, boo.
So that was WrestlePro
and Dan Moff and Janela.
Oh yeah, Danny Moff and Joey Janela.
It was fucking sick. And then of course you had SCU and against VSK, Matt McIntosh and Buck, and crazy party to end the night. Big beer bash in the ring was awesome.
Nice.
It was great. Craig Steele, the dastardly one, poured beer down my throat from the ring.
I'm sure that wasn't hard.
No, it got all over me. It was messy.
Kevin was like a baby bird. He just took it all in.
That's it. It's like fucking pop.
No, I had my White Claws. I was already okay.
When you're drinking the White Claws, there are no laws.
There are no laws. It's a lawless. It's Rex Lawless.
Was it a fucking banger?
Oh, I got a banger of the week. Don't worry.
Oh, good for you.
No, anyway, yeah. I don't want to fucking spend all night talking about WrestlePro, but some friendly faces were there. Buddy Drew Gulak.
Oh, nice.
Was at the show, so I got to talk to him for a little while. Name drop, Tony. That's number one.
That's number two.
That's number two. And, obviously SCU, they were great. We gave him some merch, so hopefully they'll sport the merch.
Nice.
That's it. And if you want to get your pink and black Shining Wizards t-shirts, head over to shiningwizards.com/merch right now. We have them in-house for the low price of...
$20.
$20.
That's it, baby.
And they're soft.
And they're soft, like a baby's bottom.
Like an Enzo and Cass. S-A-W-F-T. Soft.
And you can't teach that.
Can't teach
but
that.
But you can buy it.
You can.
Shiningwizards.com/merch.
But you can buy that.
And you look as good as Jay George did last week, all over my rocking that pink and black with his fur coat that he spent the money he didn't have from RCA Wrestling.
Well, he's going to have it soon enough.
Sure, so will I and us. We will have millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
So WrestlePro is a huge success. They're going to Brooklyn in October?
Brooklyn.
Yes,
Brooklyn.
They have a couple spot shows in between, but Brooklyn in October, back in Rahway in November.
Nice. So. And I saw they had the poster with Arn, but Arn's already out.
Yeah, Arn canceled. He's too busy doing a podcast with Conrad.
Did that drop yet?
I don't think so.
The Arn show?
I don't think so.
Not yet.
No. What? Oh, my God. How many people are still crying about Conrad Thompson and his podcast comments? It's insane.
Are people still upset about that? There was the outrage of the guy who tried to touch Sasha's booty when she got thrown over the...
Yeah, can we talk about that? All I saw was the video. What's the deets?
She doesn't have a booty. Who tried to grab that?
Ooh, sick burn, Garifo.
Someone's...
Sick burn.
Some fan sitting in the front row. Like, as she's going over the top, he reaches his hand out. He doesn't touch her, but fucking...
Butt
I tweeted
fucking,
about it yesterday.
Fucking.
Wait, she went over... Was he trying to, like, maybe break her fall?
No. They were in the crowd. And she got thrown over. So as she's going
toward
over,
the ring.
Back towards the ring.
Yeah. He had front row seats and he just reached his
I bet he
out.
Did.
He had his phone out too. So, I don't know, maybe he's trying to film a little Christmas goose.
Look, man.
What?
All these fucking wrestling fans that get on fucking Twitter and are like, oh, this is unacceptable. This can't be done. You, like the 95% of you who went to bat for this situation that nobody asked you to go for bat for, 100% would fucking try and do the same thing because you're a fucking creepy wrestling fan.
You would at least have the thought in your head.
And the flip side to that is if he did touch her and she turned around and fucking laid him out, they'd be like, oh, that's too much. That's excessive. You're a wrestler. You're in there with the fans. What do you expect? The rules are you don't fucking touch the wrestlers.
That shouldn't have to be even like how that needs to be said is beyond my
because
comprehension.
We live in a world...
In a world
where people think they're entitled to whatever they want.
To play grab ass with
yes.
Sasha Banks?
To play grab ass with anyone.
You know what, though? Like, when guys would come near
Bailey,
you,
I'd play grab ass with.
Like, if somebody lands next to you, a pat on the shoulder, say, come on, get up, get back in there. People do it all the time.
Yeah.
I remember, like, going to
come
shows.
Come on, sweetheart, get back.
Well, remember when, like, you were lucky enough to have, like, an aisle seat? Like at like a house show, and the wrestlers come out and say, like, Mr. Perfect doesn't want to shake your hand, but you want to, like, tap him on the shoulder and stuff. Like, I remember that was okay. Like, is that, I guess, I mean, obviously, trying to grab a butt is not okay.
Grabbing right. The butt.
But well, I remember reaching out and trying to, like, touch a wrestler.
Sure. You could, like, high five, give him a slap, whatever. But when you're starting to grab a
trust me, I'm not defending this at all. I'm just remembering, like,
yeah, Kevin's
then,
not
like,
Mike Johnson in the thing.
What?
You're not defending him when he's wrong.
Nice. Not bad. Not bad, Tony.
You can't look. Terrible. Don't touch the wrestlers. Yeah. And if you're gonna pat him on the shoulder, whatever, don't especially.
I was also a kid at this point too.
Sure, but
so,
it's a different time
that was,
now.
That was Saturday. What are you talking about?
Where everything is like, you know, if you fucking touch someone and they take it the wrong way, they're going to yell sexual harassment.
Kevin was grab-assing everybody as they're walking through the curtain. Yeah, all right, go out there. Go get
him,
boys.
I got Orange Cassidy good.
Did you grab his ass?
Right in his oranges.
Oh, nice. Man.
Nah,
did he even take his hands out of his pockets? Probably not.
Look, it's like the people who have fucking kids that are assholes. Your kid's a fucking asshole because you're an asshole, and they're going to grow up to be an asshole. That's what they know.
The ass doesn't fall far from the hole.
It's like the kid that was like yelling nasty shit at Velvet Sky and fucking Bully Ray took him backstage. Just because you buy a ticket doesn't give you the right to be a fucking piece of shit.
Oh, is this 18-year-old Matt talking to 37-year-old Matt?
I never.
All right,
I never touched a wrestler, and maybe I chanted, "You have herpes."
Oh no! Come on.
What?
Didn't you get chastised by Gino Caruso of all people?
Yeah.
You got thrown out of Seton Hall by King Kong Bundy asking to play a game of hide and go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I did that.
And you pulled the fire alarm, even though you said you didn't.
I didn't. I swear. For the rest of my life.
We will never, ever know the answer to that question.
I believe Matt is telling the truth.
I did not pull the fire alarm.
I forget who Billy Real was wrestling on that show, but the dude he had his match with like said something about my mother, and Billy hit like a pescado or something to the outside, and I looked at him. He's cheering. I go, Billy, he talks shit about my mother, and Billy turned around and spit on him.
And he went like,
you lost the money again, Billy? What is quiche?
Look, 20 years ago, you knew. Like, I was an ECW fan, so I'd go to wrestling shows, and I would be a little ECW jerk-off wrestling fan. Right?
I also knew
not to touch the fucking wrestlers.
Yeah, because you were threatening them to touch you. I'll own you.
Yeah, I mean, Gina Cruz
was a little dick.
I was a little fucking jerk-off. And you know what? If someone did fucking smack me, I had it coming, so. But no one ever did.
At least he's owning it.
Be so funny if Matt turned out to be the owner of East Coast Pro Wrestling because Gino fucking cold
cocked. That's my barbershop is right around the corner next to Gene's Deli's too.
Well, with that paycheck we'll be getting from RCA, we could easily ECPW. What is it, ECPW?
Yeah.
ECPW.
Just don't fucking touch the wrestlers and stop with the fucking you're getting in your ivory white tower on fucking Twitter because all you creeps are the same fucking creeps that are fucking jerking off, searching the internet, looking for fucking naked pictures of these chicks.
Bottling up sweat from when you meet them and like their appearances and you keep it in your little fucking home.
You guys are fucking way off base.
No, we're not. Some dude tweeted at me yesterday and said, I vended Melina once and a kid walked up to her and said, can you sign my autograph? When you used to do splits, that's how I first started jerking off.
Didn't you say that to somebody too?
I said it to Sunny.
Yes,
I said she was my first.
Yeah, you guys were all drooling, telling her about the roller skating video.
No, it had nothing to do with the roller skating video.
No, it did for him.
Yeah, for me it did.
Fucking creepers.
Dude, Sunny was fucking smoking hot in 1996.
So Molina was smoking hot in like 2002. Three?
Yeah, but we were also doing a radio show where it's fun to joke about stuff like that.
Oh, so this kid creeping up on her like later on in life, that's kind of wrong.
It's just weird when you're face to face with somebody. Like we had a rapport with Sonny. We were doing
not like
a
when
show.
You're meet to meet.
Wanna go meet to meet? I'm too far away from the board because I'm basking.
Just don't fucking touch wrestlers, okay?
Yeah, don't be stupid.
And what the fucking stop with the fucking internet wrestling community? Everyone's got to be a fucking hero. Nobody gives a shit.
Well,
stop. Have
you heard the outcrying against Jim Cornette, by the way?
Which one? What did he say now?
No,
the
it's not what he
blue?
Said.
I don't know. God
it's,
dang.
It's because they announced that he was going to be involved with the NWA.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. People came out of the woodwork. You're hiring a homophobe. You're hiring a guy who doesn't appreciate modern wrestling. Like this entire thing, like all these nasty things that Cornette's ever said. So much so that Nick Aldis, NWA champion, wrote an article about it and said, dude, it's just wrestling. Calm the fuck down. Stop white knighting everything.
Seriously, it's subjective.
Don't be a hero, people.
Look,
nobody needs you.
Jim Cornette's been in the business for how long?
God
we
damn.
Don't agree with everything he says. I probably don't agree with 95% of the shit he says. But he still views wrestling as one way. And being associated with the NWA, if you saw their 70th anniversary show, where for some ungodly reason they brought Dory Funk Jr. out to fucking with his whip. Like, they're
he was whipping some smarts into that broad who didn't know anybody's name when she was interviewing him.
They're trying to stay traditional. I get it. Is it going to work? Probably not.
What?
The NWA was at its highest with this Nick Aldis Cody feud.
You think that was its highest?
In the last 20 years, absolutely.
You didn't see the new news, did you? My man is back.
Oh, no, I know.
My man.
Tim Storm.
Tim Storm challenging Nick Aldis for the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship.
Did you know the NWA tag titles changed hands?
Yes, because of the Ring of Honor guys.
Yes,
are not working with NWA.
Or was it? Was there another one since then?
No, Brody King and PCO lost to two guys with Southern names.
Yes, it was Thomas Lattimore.
That's right.
And Royce Isaacs. One of them is Bram.
Bram, Bram, Bram.
Bram? Really?
Yeah. I think Thomas Lattimore.
That sounds
I think
right.
So.
Let me look that up.
I found an old TNA shirt that I had autographed by a bunch of people, and Bram was one of them.
I saw that on your Twitter. Yeah. It's Bram. Or your Instagram.
Yeah. Bram was one of the signatures.
That's weird. Where did you get that?
I saw TNA did a show in Wayne. Like,
but Bram was
years.
There?
I mean, it looked like a Bram signature to me.
Bram, Bram.
Because I thought he was only there like 2013.
Well, that's what I think it was.
That reminds me. Isn't Shivani and Conrad going to be in Wayne in a couple of weeks?
Yes.
Yes, for GoPro Wrestling. Which I actually met the guys at GoPro on Saturday, and they're great. So maybe we can try to work something out and promote their show on if one of them wants to call in.
We just did.
That's a good point. September 28th in Wayne, New Jersey. GoPro Wrestling. Killer Cross will be there. A lot
Tony
of guys will be there.
And Conrad.
I'll be at New Japan Fighting Spirit.
Oh, that's right. Richard Holiday will be there.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go.
The most marketable man.
In MLW.
And a bunch of other people.
So oh, my.
I might actually go to that.
Yeah, why not? Why wouldn't you go to New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Nice, nice.
No, you're not going to go to either of them.
I'm going to go to GoPro.
No, you're not.
I guarantee you I go to GoPro.
Bail last minute. Something will come up. You don't want to go. You can't find socks without holes in them. Something weird. No, you're good.
Oh.
Freaked out last week. So Dickhead went 11-0 at fucking Clash of the Champions.
Dickhead?
Yes, Dickhead. Because you're fucking blowing up my fucking phone.
Yeah, fucking saying you're like.
I didn't mention one pick. I just said.
But if I know my picks, I clearly know yours.
No, I didn't remember either one of you guys' picks. Honestly.
So, like, I'm like. He's texting. He's sending these texts. Five
can
for,
I tell you how
three
great
for
it
three,
was?
Four for four, five for five. Like, stop fucking spoiling the show. I know what I picked.
How great it was to pick Drew Gulak over Humberto and Lince.
Oh, I picked that too.
Yeah,
then I picked AJ Styles over Cedric Alexander.
I picked that too.
Then I
well.
Picked two tag team title changes. Not one, two.
I did not pick those.
Did I pick Bayley defending successfully against Charlotte Flair?
You did.
Did I pick Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross successfully defending?
We all did.
Against the Donut Lasses.
Not. Oh, you picked Fire and Desire.
I did.
Did I pick Collarbone over The Miz?
Collarbone?
Yeah. You did. Shinsuke.
Oh, yeah.
Did I pick Sasha Banks to beat Becky Lynch?
You did.
You did.
Did I pick Kofi Kingston to retain against Randy Orton?
You did.
Did I pick Seth Rollins to beat the Snowman?
You did.
And did I not pick Eric Rowan to defeat
Roman Reigns?
Wow, that was
that
awesome.
That was a great one.
That
yes,
awesome.
You did.
Because I am Mr. Perfect.
Clearly. Twice this year, too. That's a pretty important
yes.
feat.
And the other one was a Ring of Honor show, right?
It was.
Yeah.
I am perfection.
It's I still can't believe it still
I am
irks
perfection.
Me that the downfall this year, if I do have a downfall, will be that fucking AEW show that I hit dog shit on.
You're not winning, Tony.
Well, you will have another opportunity at AEW
in
November.
I was tied with Kevin going into that show, and I shit the bed.
Because I am perfection. Well,
don't forget, we have another show to pick tonight. So
do we
I
really?
Am perfection.
We do.
No, we don't.
We do.
No, we don't.
Uh-oh.
We do.
Wait, we're picking another show tonight?
New Japan's Pro Wrestling Destruction.
Oh, no, we're not.
I am destruction.
Get out of here.
It's on the fucking. No, don't. I gave it to you last week. You're like, oh, fucking.
And I looked at it tonight. No, we don't.
September 22nd.
Oh, fuck. You should have put it on the 17th. I wasn't looking that far. I looked at the 17th and I saw there was nothing. So we have two shows to pick tonight?
No, just one.
Well, then what the hell's the 18th?
Tomorrow night's the NXT debut.
Oh, you don't want to pick NXT?
No, I think that's just
it's a TV show.
An important thing that we're going to bring up.
Fuck, so now I got to think about picks? All right, I'm done. Talk amongst yourselves.
We'll get there. You don't have to do research now.
The one that go meet to meet.
Meet to meet too. Electric Boogaloo with
Kevin
and
we
Matt.
Can discuss on break if we want to pick this match, this show. How's that sound?
No, we're gonna pick it if
there's
if,
only really
if
two,
it was on the schedule, it was on the schedule.
There's only really two matches that are important.
There's only two matches?
No, there's a bunch. There's a ton of tag.
And the show is 7
what's
hours.
What's the name of this show?
New Japan Pro Wrestling Destruction.
Dave Destruction.
All right, so Tony's gonna look that up.
This sounds like dog shit already. This sounds like absolute. This is just to get me back for being.
Don't
perfect.
Do the Wikipedia one because it's not up there.
It's not?
Click on it. It's not there.
Destruction in Kobe?
I'm just telling. It's like talking to a fucking wall.
Well, then why do I have to go for this?
Go back.
It's like talking to a steel door.
Go back.
Yes.
And look for the one from F401.
401 Mania?
The Observer.
Yeah, whatever. That's fine, too.
All right.
It's listed. All the matches are listed.
Oh, no, this is a review. No, these are reviews.
No,
what is this
jerk
nonsense?
Off. They announced all the matches.
How come we
Christ.
Didn't call the other destructions and we're calling this one?
Because we've only picked picks in this year.
Pick. No, there was three destruction events. How come we didn't pick Beppu? How come we're picking Kobe?
We don't have to. We can talk about this when we take our fucking commercial break.
Now I'm annoyed.
Because
that's all right. I'm an expert in New Japan.
Beppu.
Fuck all y'all.
Because
what's a Beppu?
A lot of these matches are like 8-man tag matches.
Oh, great! So we're picking a bottom of the barrel New Japan.
And there's
show.
The Young Lion Cup matches too.
Oh, so, fucking!
This
wonderful.
Is where I get my wins back.
You're not an expert in New Japan.
I'm an expert at all things not New Japan.
We get. You want to talk a little? No. Well, let's talk fucking Clash of Champions.
Yes.
Okay?
Let's talk about Beppu.
I watched the whole show.
All right, thoughts, weigh in. Let's go.
I enjoyed it overall. I thought it was a good show.
Best part was the end.
Well, when it was over.
The Fiend, baby. The Fiend.
Yeah, I guess.
How long before the WWE pulls the e-brake on that?
On The Fiend?
Yep.
Like, in terms of, like, it's too dark and too scary?
No, in terms of, like, he's supposed to be heel, but he's getting babyface reactions.
I feel like he always got babyface reactions.
Like, this character is so fucking good. Like, if you watch,
because you
Raw,
know why? Because it's fucking something different that they haven't
watched
done
Raw
before.
Last night, people go, like, when he interrupted Rollins' promo at the beginning of the show, people went fucking nuts for him.
Did you notice that Rollins and even Becky aren't getting necessarily the same reactions that they were getting when they were super?
Because nobody gives a shit about either one of them. I mean, Becky.
I feel like
I think
the attention span for wrestling fans is ridiculously short.
No, because you have to keep evolving. You can't leave them stagnant for too long. Like,
and that's not a diss towards Seth.
No, it's
Becky,
like,
Lynch,
look,
to be honest.
Seth Rollins just beat Brock Lesnar, right?
Brock,
the Beast,
Beppo.
Small man, big man.
Yeah. So how is he going to lose?
Go right back into another big man feud?
LeBron.
Granted, and I look. I was all for them being tag champions. I was hoping they would. Let it be like a Shawn Michaels Diesel story. But it was like they won the tag titles, then there was dissension, then they announced a match, and then the pay-per-view happened. It just feels very rushed.
Very rushed and very like, let's just throw darts at a fucking board and see where it lands to do it. Because the whole, like you mentioned, like Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler teaming in that gauntlet match out of fucking nowhere was absolutely ridiculous. And then, thanks, Tony. And then, of course, they make this match, and I think we all picked Roode and Ziggler.
We did. Because we all saw the writing was on the wall. There was going to be dissension in the tag match. They were going to lose the titles. And then you watch Raw last night, and none of these Tony is so aggravated about
what
making picks.
No, keep going. We'll get to this.
Raw last night, you have this tag team, like, function in the ring.
Summit, if you will.
And Braun Strowman comes out. He clears house, so he apparently dominates the whole tag team division. And then the end of the show, 50-something-year-old Kane comes out, and he clears house, too. So it's like...
Kane looks awful.
I mean, he hasn't been wrestling.
He's a fucking man now,
and I get why they did it. Listen, to me, the ending of that show... With Kane and Bray, or was that was the end? Right?
That was the end. Yes. When Bray, look,
which I had no problem with that
Bray
either.
Bray shit is awesome, but it also I feel like it's you're devaluing your when the club is getting taken out by Kane. I mean, does he? I don't think he's in the. He's a legend.
Okay, but that.
But I
you
don't
just
think
nailed
he's
my question
in the same category
you.
As like an Undertaker or even like a Goldberg.
Yeah, so,
I just don't see him that way.
And I agree with you, especially because he looks like a cheaper, especially last night, his gear, he looks like a cheaper indie version of what Kane, like he looks like a shell of what Kane used to be.
Right.
And Kane, again, all-time great, Hall of Famer, no problem, but you're 100% right. Not a superstar legend like a Stone Cold or an Undertaker or a Rock or anyone like that or even a Mick Foley. But he is a big guy and he's in that like second tier-ish with like Brock and like Mark, like Big Show and
right,
like
maybe a Goldberg.
Goldberg, a Mark Henry even or something to like you believe when he can you believe that he can beat these guys up because he's the big red machine and he's a monster, but it doesn't the ends don't justify the means to me. Like it's fucking Kane. Like you may if it was Undertaker, yeah, you believe that these guys can get beat up by him, but it's like it's
Kane? Like come on.
He's always, it was never equals with Kane and Undertaker.
No,
like,
never.
Ever. Like, everyone's trying to make a big deal about the Brothers of Destruction. And, like, I'm like, it was always Undertaker was 1A and Kane was, like,
14.
It was B.
B. Like, not B. even, like, always, it wasn't 1A. It wasn't 1 and 1A. It was never. It was Undertaker, and the sidekick. And unlike even like the two-man power trip with Austin and Triple H, at that point, that was almost believable. What they were like 1 and 1A. Maybe right. Austin a little more, but it was that was 1 and 1A. And then they would feud with Undertaker and Kane. And it was just like Kane. Like Kane's always like if you have a five-man tag team match, Kane's like the fifth guy.
Yes, always.
On like your team. And he's believable in that role, but you don't like if you have Austin, Hogan, Rock, or whatever, and like I never enjoyed it when the NWO came back in like 2001 or 2002, and it was like Hall, Nash, and Hogan teaming up with like against Austin, Rock, and like Kane. Like Kane doesn't fit, or like Hogan, Rock, and Kane when it was like X-Pac, Hall, and Nash. Like Kane just didn't fit in. He never fit in anywhere, and he had his most memorable run to me, other than his original stuff, was when he. Like beat Edge or beat Mysterio for the World Heavyweight title in SmackDown and like God, I forget when it was.
Wasn't he the one that squashed Chavo for the ECW title too?
At WrestleMania in like 5 seconds.
There you go. Matt's favorite championship.
Awful.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But I understand why they did that too at the time, because it was to develop the brand and bring stars to that brand. But Kane's Matt, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%.
I just don't see it.
Like
Kofi's in a blood feud with Randy Orton and he's throwing fucking pancakes out. What do you think of that?
I mean,
like he beat up Xavier Woods and they took him out and they ruined his leg and it cost them the tag titles. And here's this motherfucker coming out with his belt two sizes too big around his waist, throwing pancakes at people while the Apex Predator, the fucking the venomous
the Viper.
Randy Orton. Thank you. Is in the ring.
And this dummy's coming out to it's a new day. Have a pancake. Have a pancake. Have a pancake. Come on, dude.
I have pancakes in my mouth. They taste so good, but need syrup. They
that's
talk
what
to me.
I mean, that's what good. He's... It's...
Where's the syrup? Yeah, why do they have these dry-ass pancakes?
But that's their thing. Like people, kids come to see them throw fucking pancakes.
They should have
whatever happened to Bootios?
They're still a thing, right?
They're sold out, I think.
No, but like, why did you like evolve? Like, I get evolving a character, but Bootios were over. Throw fucking big-ass Bootios in the crowd.
It's not like they're
making. I think they have to make Bootios where it's easier to just get a box of Aunt Jemima's and
right, and then
pancakes.
They have catering. They make a fucking 100 pancakes and you throw them all over the fucking
place. Like, can't Bootios just be like big bagels?
Those are fucking hemorrhoidos.
Bagelos? Bam Bam Bagelos?
Oof.
People are like,
come on, that was genius.
That was rough.
Bam Bam Bagelos?
That was rough. We hit a couple waves on that one.
I loved it.
It wasn't the worst.
No, it wasn't the worst. We didn't capsize.
People are...
We also didn't capitalize.
We were just kind of like, whoa, hold on there.
People are like, oh, they're going into the Fox with Kofi as the SmackDown champion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Why fucking
dude,
not?
They're marketing behind the New Day is like the heaviest marketing point of this move to Fox. They're over every billboard, every like truck with you know the paper on the side of it. They're everywhere. It's a New Day, baby.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
What is the truck with the paper?
You know what I'm talking about. You know the trucks that they always have with the advertising on it?
I get it, but I was like,
I know.
Like,
I described it terribly.
Newspaper truck?
Yo,
newspaper
it's a truck with the paper on the side.
It's a new truck. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Boom.
They recycle. They recycle the paper.
Boom.
It
was actually funny. I saw one of those trucks where they actually had when like Cass and Enzo got released. Well, they had all like the faces on the side and they're just not there. Just big blank spaces. On it.
That's pretty hilarious.
They gone.
Yeah. They gone. Yeah.
So Clash of Champions, good show. I was surprised to see Bayley and Charlotte get like 4 minutes.
That was a weird finish.
I think that was good for Bayley's
for
character.
Bayley's character. Yeah. It was just surprised.
I was surprised too. Yes.
You see Bayley Charlotte on the match
beyond
listing, and you expect 15 minutes of gold. And to get 4 minutes. But, I mean, it made sense. She took off the bottom turnbuckle.
Which I didn't even see happen, by the way.
You want to hear creepy? Somebody's got a still pic of Charlotte digging in deep for a body slam, and she's got a whole handful of Bayley.
Oh, yeah. Fucking Duke the Dumpster.
Duke the Dumpster posted that.
Put that on Facebook. That fucking
well, he's a creep anyway.
Can we get him on the show?
I tried when he first was on Facebook. He's like, oh, I'm not doing a podcast right now, but I can try again.
Duke the Dumpster, man.
It's not like he's fucking doing anything besides being a weirdo on fucking Facebook.
He's hilarious, though.
Who's a better follow on Facebook? There's three. I'm going to throw at you.
All right.
Duke the Dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Horowitz.
Mm-hmm.
or not Pat Tanaka. What's the other? Paul Diamond.
I have never followed Paul Diamond. So
you're not friends with Paul Diamond?
Paul Diamond is super butthurt about the Max Moon costume. Like,
he's been trying to track it down.
Super.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
People have been using it.
Like, there's a picture of, like, Anthony Green wearing it. And he's
retro,
like,
I saw him. He was, great guy.
And
Retro AJ.
And he was wearing it. Like, he wore it like a Halloween costume.
The legit one?
I don't know if it's the legit. Paul Diamond's, like, posted pictures like, this guy has my fucking outfit. Like, real fucking weird about it. Barry Horowitz is way too into himself. If he has to, he posts that fucking custom Hasbro picture one more time where he says they're coming and that they're made, like, producing them, I'm going to tell him he's full of shit.
I don't see him all that often.
Okay.
He posts them every day.
I like Barry Horowitz. I had personal conversations with the man. He's a hell of a guy.
Great.
He's stealing my gimmick?
You fucking eat that shit up, though.
What are you taking my name drop gimmick? What's the matter with you?
Well, you know, I had co-opted a little bit.
Listen, I sent messages to Kurt Hawkins about Barry Horowitz action figures coming out, and then he popped one of those fucking stupid customs up on Facebook, and I was like, that's not a real action figure.
But Duke is always, he's doing, like, name this move, and who's my 500th friend today?
He was telling stories for a while.
When he first got on there, and then someone was like, bro, you could probably make money doing a fucking shoot interview.
Yeah.
So he stopped telling stories, and now he just posts this weird shit. Like,
that's
Charlotte,
right, he did stop posting
fucking
stories.
Digging her fingers into Bailey's bunghole.
Like, name this move or something like that.
But yeah, well, I'll find it.
That was a great picture, too.
Listen, I'll never hate on Bailey's booty.
Well, Bailey got a face for a shovel, but she got a fucking nice shit locker.
Oh, my God. So
I'm
mean.
Just saying. You want me to call her foot or shovel face?
She's got...
Her name is Pam, by the way, which I never knew.
Listen, Bailey's got a Bam Bam Bigelow.
Are you saying Pam or Pan?
Pam, yes. There's the line of the day.
See, look. Pam. Mr. 5000.
Well, because he always loses friends, and then he has to add more to fill back up to 5000.
Surprised I still made the cut.
There you go. Name this high-risk maneuver.
Oh, man. She got a whole lot of loving in her hand.
Good for her.
I know. Oh, Charlotte is the man, isn't she? Oh, wait.
Is Bailey dating anyone?
Ric Flair Jr.
I think she is. She's an indie wrestler.
Maybe Charlotte.
Married to him.
Is she?
Yeah, I believe so.
Never see. I mean, good for her. You never see any of that stuff out there.
What?
Her personal stuff.
No, it's smart. It's smart because she doesn't want anybody creeping on her, which I understand.
Pam.
Right? Her name's Pam?
Yeah,
I didn't know that until, like, yesterday.
Pam.
Somebody said she looks like a Pam, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I see that.
What, like the oven spray?
Yes. Like all distorted and bubbly.
Interesting.
Bubbly boy.
A bit of the bubbly.
She's engaged to Aaron Solo.
Yes.
Han Solo?
She's like Puerto Rican or something. Her last name is Martinez.
Well, maybe she's a half and half.
She was a big super fan, though, so I can't ever hate on Bailey.
Yeah, no, she's from Texas. I like her.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
A little bit of the Bailey. The song was written about Bailey.
Of course it was.
Bubbly right. Butt.
So we had that. Anything else from Clash of Champions that's worthy of talking about?
It was a weird show in terms of, like, matches that are just weird. Like, I love The Miz. I like Shinsuke Nakamura. That was a weird match to have on the show. Again, obviously the lead up was there with Sami Zayn and stuff like that. It's just a bizarre match. It's just weird matches on the show. Revival and New Day, which is weird. I get it because the whole Orton and Kofi and all that stuff. But even like Humberto Carrillo, who I like, and Lince Dorado, like, I feel like they just need new matches for these pay-per-views, and Lince Dorado has had no push at all on 205 Live, and Humberto Carrillo has been relatively new and doesn't really get a reaction at all when he comes out. So that match was just bizarre to me, other than the in-ring work, which is fantastic. It's a great match. I'd recommend watching 205 Live. Great, and I hope that comes on NXT. Hope that becomes a part of NXT.
That's the rumor going around that 205 is going to, everybody's going to be bumped to the NXT roster.
I hope so.
They got 2 hours to fill now, you know, so.
Well, the first couple weeks, only the first hour's on USA.
And I think that's just because of that show's Suits.
Now, here's a question. If you subscribe to WWE Network and you're just a fan of NXT, and NXT disappears.
But they're not.
But then, are you sure?
The replay will be Thursday on the network.
Yeah, but if you could watch it live on Wednesday,
will it be in the archives like Raw and SmackDown? I mean, Raw and SmackDown, you have to wait like 4 or 5 weeks before the latest episode comes on. Whereas NXT, I could watch at midnight
The day it comes on. Yeah, That's a good question. I don't have an answer for that.
So, I mean, everybody always says, like, there's people out there that get the network just to watch NXT because NXT is its own thing and whatnot, but kind of wondering if that goes by the wayside.
And I don't know how USA Network fits in with cord cutters. Like, if you don't have cable, do you get USA on these other channels, or these other services?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know, because I still have the cable.
I know
cable
there's an
machine.
App, but I get the app because I subscribe to Comcast, so I have access to it anyway.
The news I have here for September 18th and 25th, those first two episodes of NXT, the first hour will be live on USA, the second will be live on the network. NXT will then move airing live on USA Networks for two full hours starting October 2nd.
October 2nd, which of course is the first episode of AEW.
Right.
Did they have a name yet for the show, or is it just AEW on TNT?
They filed a trademark for Dynamite this
past week.
Is it
Wednesday Night Dynamite? I remember
I think
thing.
They just applied for Dynamite in terms of wrestling, which, you know, fuck Dynamite Kid because he's dead now anyway. So
wow. Again.
Just saying.
I have
what?
No interest in watching NXT.
Really?
Look, I don't need to watch any of it because I'm an expert, so it doesn't matter to me.
Look. I'm sure the stuff week to week is great and they tell great stories, but when you have such great production going into these big takeover shows, I don't need to watch. I didn't watch any NXT UK, and I put on that UK special a couple weeks ago, and the packages before each match gave me the story.
Yeah, and we shit the bed, all three of us, on that fucking
pay-per-view. Well, that's because I don't watch it. I don't know.
What did we get right? We got right Walter. Walter retained and everybody else lost their titles. It was like, what the fuck?
Right, and then two of us got Banks and
Travis Banks, and I didn't get that because I picked
Noam Dar.
Could you guys Noam Dar? I picked Banks.
We all lost the tag match.
I won one of the coffee matches, I think.
Yes, that was it.
Oh, the coffee match against the big dude.
David Mastiff.
Yes.
Yeah, we all lost the women's match. We all lost the tag match.
Yes.
All right, so anyway.
But let me ask you this, when it comes to NXT.
It's great.
It's because I thoroughly enjoy it when I watch it. So like, if you like, is it one of those things where like, if you just like watch?
Okay, but just you said when you watch it,
but I don't watch it live. Is what I'm saying.
Right.
I've watched.
Do you watch
today
it every
on
week.
NXT. Yeah, just about. Okay. Yeah,
just about. Or you watched it?
I didn't
week?
Watch this past week's yet.
So last Wednesday.
So I watched. I think the last one I saw was the Jordan Miles, ACH versus Adam Cole. I think was the last one I watched. And But if you started watching it, do you think you would go out of your way to watch it?
I don't know.
Because it's like, do you watch Raw? Like,
no.
Okay. SmackDown.
No.
Okay.
I'm here.
No. But I'm saying like eventually. I'm just curious as to what. I mean, obviously you watch MLW, New Japan. You have no interest in watching any WWE product on demand or in like I guess real time,
like live.
Will. Yeah.
Fuck
no,
you, WWE.
Not really.
All right.
Look, the stuff, so what happens is, like last night, I got home, I put the football game on.
Right.
I watched Clash of Champions, whatever, it was what it was.
Yeah. Fine you show. Know,
if I hear,
placeholder show.
If I hear that there's something worth seeing, I'll go on the internet and find it. But I can't commit 3 hours to see 20 minutes worth of good shit.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, the Corbin-Gable match last night was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was a great match.
People who were like, all these guys are super talented. I don't know why Baron Corbin won.
Baron Corbin's
talent
good.
Has zero to do with it.
Baron Corbin's not bad.
Right?
No,
he's not bad.
He's
not
talented.
Bad, but he's talented, and he works in the role he's in.
The problem with Corbin was he was pushed too hard too soon with nothing behind him, if that makes sense. There was no build to him. He was kind of like Roman Reigns on the heel side. It's like, here's this asshole, and we're just going to keep pushing him down.
Well, he
did
like the commissioner thing. And
yeah, but you notice
but
now?
That's what it was. The Constable Corbin came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he's like Metal God, like Damian Priest or whatever, and then the next week he's...
But he did need a gimmick change. That gimmick was going nowhere. But now that they backed him off a little bit, they're keeping him around, he's not in a position of power... I'm okay with him, dude. He's turned on me.
I need him.
Can I isolate that?
Need him to get new fucking gear. Like, I can't.
No, I don't mind that.
I can't watch bald guinea tee fucking jeans Corbin. I couldn't watch like vest and fucking button down shirt Corbin. I just couldn't watch it.
Yeah, but
you had
no problem with
nitpicking though at that point.
Yeah, you had no problem with Dean Ambrose
Dean Ambrose was a lunatic fringe.
I don't even know what the fuck that means.
He's on the fringe of lunacy.
He's off the chains.
It's fucking stupid. Why didn't they just call him Off the Chain Ambrose?
At least he always started that way. He wore like what? Like cargo pants and a vest?
What if they called him Retard Ambrose?
Oh my God.
Why?
I don't know. That was better than Lunatic Fringe. But...
No, Lunatic Fringe was catchy.
No, it wasn't. Catchy? Really? No, even Matt's making diarrhea
off the
face.
Rolls off the tongue better than what you said. I'm not going to repeat it.
Ours always roll off the tongue, Kevin.
That's right. That's right. Rusev Day. Rusev came back.
Oh, yeah.
Rusev
That's the
Day.
Fucking what? Someone hired Vince Russo just to write that.
No, Vince Rusev.
That fucking story.
Oh, boom. I'm walking out on a high
that
note.
That fucking storyline. You can get me another one of these delicious ciders.
That
fucking storyline is the fucking drizzling shit.
What's the storyline with that?
Maria's pregnant.
Oh, the cuck storyline.
So they did the baby shower, right? Which is, that's what we want. We want the Street Profits to host the baby
shower.
Oh,
you mean Crime Time?
The gender reveal.
You mean Crime Time without the scheming?
Yes.
Okay.
Without the blatantly stereotypical shit.
Money, yeah.
Thank you, sir. So... they do the baby gender reveal, right? Because this is what...
And Rusev was in the balloon?
No. It's a boy, but Ricochet is the father.
Is he really?
So Bennett slaps Ricochet and then says, we're going to settle this in the ring. And Titus O'Neil's like, you need to go handle your shit. So Ricochet goes out there, beats him in like 40 seconds with a code breaker,
of course,
right?
He does.
Then Maria comes out on the stage, runs him down. He's not the father. I was trying to motivate you to see if you would stick up for me. And then here comes the real father, Rusev, who then proceeds to go in the ring. And like Bennett's like, I had a bad day. The writing for this is fucking awful.
Jesus!
Michael Bennett deserves, I mean, God bless him. He's on fucking TV every week, I guess. But he's so much better than this.
But he puts up with it.
Well, look, this is what... It's better than what they were doing with him before when he wasn't on TV, I guess, right? It's a fucking catch-22,
sure.
But goddamn, this fucking storyline's stupid. So then he's like, I'm having a bad day, just leave me alone. And Rusev ends up fucking beating him in like a minute. The fucking worst. It's the fucking worst Attitude Era bullshit story I've ever seen.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
I fucking hate it. How do you feel about this baby bullshit?
What, with Ricochet being like a father of Maria's baby?
Though.
He wasn't.
No.
I thought
it's Rusev.
From what I saw, I thought the backstage stuff was hysterical.
Kevin thinks it's compelling writing.
I didn't say that. I just thought it was funny. Just like all the reactions of everyone backstage was so funny. Like if you see like the memes coming around of like Ricochet's face and Heath Slater's face, it's fucking good. But yeah, I mean the Rusev
stuff. Fucking garbage.
So wait, Rusev is the father of the baby is what they're saying?
That's what
nobody
we're going
made
with
a,
right now.
Nobody made a Ricochet pegging joke out of all this?
No one made a Ricochet pegging joke out of all this.
Oh man.
Ricochet, it ain't so.
It's terrible.
So bad.
Absolutely terrible. Hey, you want to know something? We got Kevin Gill calling at about 8:15. But Kevin, what do we always say?
Hey y'all, back after this.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com. Click on your country's banner, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message. Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Because we're up all night.
Too sweet.
No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. We'll see you there.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
No. Oh, fuck that slob, too.
Oh, no!
Isn't he wrestling at Evolve against somebody?
He is wrestling at Evolve.
He's wrestling Walter, isn't he?
Yes.
Hope he chops the fat off of that slob.
Which one?
Either one.
All right. Yes. We want to take a moment to thank those that support us over at our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We do have new tiers coming out that are going to start October 1st. Trying to make it a little more exciting for you guys and give you a little more bang for your buck, as the Young Bucks would say.
It's a banger.
It is a banger, and I have my banger of the week, but we'll talk about that after we talk to Kevin Gill.
That's right.
We want to thank, of course, AOP, Anthony, and Danny Rusinello.
Oh, they had a nice little segment on Raw, too, last night.
Oh, yes, they did.
In a different language. Sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. Cindy Ardone.
Sex machine.
The sex machine. Dark Helmet himself, Ryan Arthur.
Rub that helmet.
Kathy Hummer.
Oh, my God.
The queen of the Shining Wizards.
She's your queen.
Manny Kratzo.
She got a name drop. She got a name drop on the Hawkins and Ryder podcast.
Nice.
And we didn't?
Oh, we did.
We get it all the time. Mike Martinelli. The Shawns. Sean Callejo. Sean Toe. Kate the Great, who is still hungover from Los Angeles.
KTG. Hey.
Or Los Angeles. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG.
He's a good guy.
Mr. Brett Simonello.
Who?
My pal Alex Vasquez.
M-pal.
Scotch drinks more.
Hope not.
Matt Mellinger. And our friend, what's his name?
The ultimate horrier, Ben Haven.
There you go.
That's so Haven.
And of course, William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean? I love that. It's going to be a sad day if he ever decides to stop being a patron. So, like, what? I can't do that anymore.
Why would he ever stop?
I'm just saying. Stuff happens.
Stuff does happen.
Have Mercier.
If you're enjoying what you're listening to, please. It's $1 a month. Everything goes back to us, and that allows us to get better equipment to record this podcast and continue to give you great content every week. We're going on 8 years in November, and we've never missed a week.
Yep.
That's insane. Yep.
That's really...
One way or the other, you're right. We never missed a week.
We've already done 7 watch-alongs as well for our patrons.
Yeah, and as little as $3 a month, you get a watch-along.
$3, and there's going to be more goodies, even at the $1 level. So why wouldn't you go $3 to get the watch-alongs?
Right?
I enjoyed the one that I did in the hopper that's coming out soon, so yeah. I'm excited to do more.
Yeah, I think maybe this weekend I'm going to try to crack out some more ECW with the kid.
Nice.
Might try to do that.
Nice. There's three things I've done for as long as I've done this podcast. I've been with my wife and at my job. Those are the only two things in my life I've ever done for 8 years, 8 years consistently.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Really, think about it. How many things in your life have you done for eight years?
I don't think I've held the same job for 8 years in my life.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. My kid is growing up.
Yes. Since we started this. Yeah. We used to have to do the show at 9 o'clock. We'd have to start the show because he'd have to put the kid to bed first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now he's up there fucking screaming like a psychopath at Fortnite.
Well, it's Minecraft now.
Oh.
Okay. He gave up on Fortnite. Fortnite's trash now, in case you didn't know.
So every little bit helps. $1, that's it. And it just rolls over every month. They take $1 out of your bank account, your credit account, whatever. It's $1.
Yeah, it's $1.
You spend fucking several more dollars a day on nonsense that you don't need.
And there's going to be stuff that you get for that dollar that's not available right now. Once October 1st hits, it's available. Makes that dollar. You're going to be like, how the fuck can they do all this for me for $1? You're going to be surprised.
Yeah.
You're going to be very surprised. You know what I'm fucking surprised at?
Uh-oh.
What's that?
This fucking Kobe beef fucking destruction thing. Are we going to slaughter a cow before this show starts? This fucking looks like absolute dog shit, by the way. I don't know who the fuck half of these people are.
So then how can you say it looks like dog shit if you don't know?
Look, Kevin, Michael Richards is wrestling in the open match. That's all you need to know.
Giddy
fucking
up.
Cosmo Kramer is wrestling in the Shining Wizards pay-per-view pick and extravaganza thing. Hey, Matt. Before we get started on this dog shit, can you just relay everyone what the standings are at this point?
I will. Sitting at 156 and 73, Tony is in first place, coming off of an 11-0 pay-per-view. Kevin is only one game behind at 155 and 74.
Congrats, brother. It took you 11 wins to catch up.
Hey, I caught up 2 weeks ago if I didn't fucking take a shit in AEW.
I am still quite behind at 150 and 79.
Was Matt ever in first place?
No.
I don't think I was ever out of first place.
No, you were. Early on, you were for like a week or two.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah, no, there were a couple times where I caught you and then fell back again.
I disagree.
I only have to be ahead of you the last week of the year, my friend.
And you won't be.
We'll have to figure out, because I think we end with Wrestle Kingdom.
Wait, January 4th?
Yeah, we can't not. We didn't pick Wrestle Kingdom to start it. We started at Royal Rumble. So if we're going to do a full year, right?
Full 365-day year. Not a calendar year, if you will.
No, Kevin was always in first place.
Always.
Choke on that, slap nuts.
We started out with NXT TakeOver in January, and he went 3-2, and me and you went 2-3. He followed that up with an 8-2 Royal Rumble.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like some point in the year.
No?
Never. What part of never don't you understand?
Right now.
Today. It's history.
This moment. Did you catch
it? We making history. We beating Kevin G. And Matt's nowhere to be seen. Well, Tony's winning.
Let's see what kind of tune you're singing next week as I stumble to get that sentence out.
Let's pick some more.
Tamaguchis. We decided during the break that we were going to pick this because it aggravates Tony so much. New Japan Pro Wrestling's Destruction taking place September 22nd. They have run two other shows the last 2 days.
Which everybody said, fuck that shit. We're going to pick this one because it's absolutely the worst.
We'll talk about those other two shows after we speak.
We don't have to talk about any of it.
Because I
want to
talk about it, you fuck.
Well, I don't, so. Talk about it with Kevin Gill. There you go.
All right, so where are we starting, Tony? What do you got up there? Tony's got the match list thing right there.
First match, six-man action, Yuya Umemura.
My favorite.
Yoda's Shuji and Yuji Nagata. Holy shit.
Versus Cosmo Kramer,
Alex Coughlin. And Manabu Nakanishi.
Okay, so this is four of the Young Lions.
And Yuji Nagata.
So it's Yuji Nagata and two Young Lions taking on Coughlin, Michael
Kramer.
Richards, who are Coughlin and Richards are Young Lions.
And George Costanza.
Manabu Nakanishi.
I will go first. I'm going to go with Team Nagata.
All right. Kevin's going Nagata.
Yeah, that was my impression first. I don't know this Manabu Nakanishi. So if I had, Jesus Christ, these guys are old as shit.
Well, Nakanishi has been around forever. He's in virtual pro wrestling.
Holy fuck, dude.
I'm going with the LA Dojo. I'm going Richards and Coughlin.
Stop pretending like you know. Just fucking give us names.
They're from the LA Dojo.
But so wait, do you, so you're more up to date on this than us.
He has no idea.
I have no idea who's going to win this.
All right. That's fair.
12th Young Lion Cup League match. Shota Umino versus Carl Fredericks.
A lot of American names on this.
Yes, there are.
Because they're... So
oh,
the
Dojo
the Young
LA.
Lions
gotcha,
Cup
gotcha,
is
gotcha,
the
gotcha,
LA Dojo
gotcha.
Against the New Japan Dojo.
You know what? I'm looking at Carl Fredericks. He looks to be a beast.
Can I see? Well, let me see. I can't see him.
Yeah, good luck, Kev.
Good thing we have six monitors in here, not one of them.
Oh,
alone.
Now you're going to shit on it?
Well, because I want to know what...
Come on, Japanese expert.
I want to know what Shuji Yamanuto looks like.
I'm going Umino. I'm going Umino, too, because...
Me,
I think
too, just because I can't see him.
I think I'm splitting the next one, because the next one is the 12th Young Lions Cup League match. It's Ren and Stimpy Narita against Clark Connors, Sarah's son from the future.
Okay.
I'm going Mr. Connors. I don't know. White guy's got to win one of them, right?
I'm going Ren Narita.
Kevin, this is going to be the game changer as he looks on his iPhone 4.
I don't see this match. Why don't I see this match? Who is it? What's the match again?
Ren Narita versus Clark Connors.
I'll go with the fine Irish lad.
Oh, jeez.
Connors.
All right. Fourth match, 30 minutes limit. It's another six man. Toa Henare, Tomoaki Homa, and Togi Makabe versus Chase Owens, Yujiro Takahashi, and Bad Luck Fale. Do you know anything about Toa, Tomo, and Togi, the three Ts?
Well, Makabe used to be the IWGP champion at one point, Intercontinental Champion.
I don't know how I feel about the Bullet Club, though. You know what? I'm going.
I never know how to feel about the Bullet Club.
I'm going Team Japan. I'm going I'm going 3T.
I'm with you on
Toma,
that one.
Toma, and Togi. Toa, Tomo, and Togi. There you go.
Fuck it. I'll go Bullet Club.
I hate Chase Owens. I hate.
How do you hate Chase Owens?
I don't know. He's a slob.
All right.
What's next? Fifth match, 30 minutes. Oh, this has got four guys on each team, Kev. This is an eight-man action. Rocky Romero, Tiger Mask, Jushin Liger, and Tanahashi against Dokui, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Minoru Suzuki, and Zack Sabre Jr. Fuck it. I'm going for the old farts. Tiger Mask, Liger, and Tanahashi, or Rocky Romero.
Yeah, I'm going with Liger Mask.
You have to.
Team Liger Mask.
Yeah, I'm with you, especially since Suzuki took Liger's mask off the other night.
Ooh, what an
asshole.
Which
is fucking awesome.
What an asshole.
All right, come on. Let's get the next one.
Sixth match. Oh, this is 10-man action.
Show.
Roppongi Bongi Bongi. Osprey, Yoshihashi, and Big Tom Ishii against Phantasmo and Ishimori,
ooh,
Loa and Tonga, and Kenta.
This might be the toughest one to pick.
As much as I love Ishii, I think Kenta's got to get a win here, so I'm going to go with Team Kenta.
Me too.
Matt?
I'm going against you guys.
You taking Ishii? Big
I'm
Tom?
I'm taking Ishii.
Fucking A, dude. Seventh match, another six-man, 30 minutes limit. I don't think there's a question who I'm taking here. Robbie Eagles gets to team with the gods of Japanese wrestling, Kota Ibushi and Katsuchita Okada against Bushi, not Ibushi, Bushi, Evil and Sonata. I'm going with the champ. I'm going Team Okada. Yeah.
I take Eagles, Ibushi, and Okada over Bad and Bushi.
Matt?
Yeah, I'm taking Okada too.
Fucking A, dude. Eighth match. Special singles match. 60 minutes limit. Hiroki Goto and Shinzo Takagi.
Go Hiroki Goto.
I'm going Goto.
I'm going Shingo.
No, he's just doing this because he's trying to catch up.
No,
I
forgot who Shingo was first. Shingo's like Shingo.
Shingo.
Yeah.
And your last match, 60
Wait,
minutes.
Who did you take?
I took Goto. Oh. Last match, ninth match, 60-minute time limit, IWGP Intercontinental Championship, Tetsuta Naito against Jay White. Fuck Jay White. Naito wins. That's all you need to know. It's his first title defense, by the way.
We're going new IWGP champion. I'm taking Jay White.
I really like that pick. I'm going Jay White.
Fuck you both.
I think it's happening.
No, it's not.
I think Jay White wins this. I think Ibushi beats Okada at Wrestle Kingdom. And since Wrestle Kingdom's a two-day event, Jay White beats Ibushi the next night, and he becomes the first double champion.
Never happening. Like, you're out of your mind.
Because you know who comes back to save the day?
Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega.
No, he doesn't. You're out of your mind. You are out of your mind.
Says the expert.
There's no way they're ruining Kota Ibushi's big night on January 4th. No way in hell. Naito's holding on to that belt. Because like I said, fuck Jay White. There you go. You heard it from me first.
I like Jay White in this match a lot, actually.
you guys are suckers. You're falling for the bullshit.
What bullshit? I don't even watch it, so I have no idea. I just
you're falling for the bullshit. Jay White is nothing but bullshit, dude. I'm telling you.
Just because you think he's a skinny John Tenta doesn't mean that we have to think he's a skinny John Tenta.
That's a fair call.
He's a fucking idiot.
God, you don't even know the man.
Yeah, really, man.
So technically, this whole thing between us rides on one match.
No, I think we picked
a couple
different
ones.
No,
there's many, many different matches, so.
Well, I know. We just went through them. There's 9 of them.
You're a fucking piece of shit.
Hey, Kevin Gill's calling in at 8:15.
Maybe.
No, he just tweeted that he's going to be calling in.
Word.
Put on the Twitter machine. He's going to call in. We're going to talk some GCW. Tony's very interested to see what happened at Bloodsport. I know KG didn't get to make it out because Delta fucked up all their shit. Because he was supposed to do color commentary.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Ironically enough, I finished listening to the latest episode, and Spotify kicked me all the way back to, I guess, the first episode available on Spotify, and it was the Matt Riddle show.
Our Matt Riddle show?
Yes.
That's right. Matt Riddle, former guest of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast,
and,
bro.
In the meh Impact segment.
Wait, we're at Impact at that point?
Oh, we were. It was actually the episode where the wedding.
My favorite Impact episode
but also
ever.
On that episode, Josh Barnett wrestled John Killinger. Bad Bones from Germany.
Oh, my God.
And me and Tony shit all over Josh Barnett for being just being awful at wrestling.
Oops.
No oops.
There's no oops. It is what
it is.
It's
fucking like 3 years ago.
You shit on Earl Cooter when he had his fucking match for MLW.
Oh, I did.
Oh, yeah, you
that
did.
That was my first fake news episode.
What is this? This is the bro music.
But what are you doing?
The bubbly.
What are you putting into it?
It's the bubbly. I don't have bro on here. I mean, I just have bubbly. Fuck, I can't wait, dude. Tim Storm is going to fucking beat Nick Aldis and win the title back. I
you
can't
think
wait.
So?
He said he's leaving the NWA if he loses.
Who?
Tim Storm. That's a man on a mission.
You want to pick that show, too?
You want to go?
No, I don't. I think it's just the TV tapings.
Yeah, I don't even know when that actual match is taking place.
I know the tapings are at the end of September. September 30th, October 1st.
I thought they said they were airing it September 30th. I could be mistaken.
No, the tapings are in Atlanta September 30th and Tuesday, October 1st.
So then it's got to be on the 30th.
It'll probably be streaming.
I don't know. It's during those tapings, isn't it?
I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he is the voice of the hottest wrestling promotion in North America right now, and his show, the Kevin Gill Show, just popped off in your face with a sick episode with Killer Cross. It's our friend from the West Coast, Mr. Kevin Gill. How are you, sir?
What up, though, to the Shining Wizards Nation? How are you guys, man? It's great to be back on such hollow digital ground.
Oh, love you.
We're good. We just aggravated Tony by making him pick the New Japan Pro Wrestling Destruction card. So,
hey, it's all good because I'm an expert in New Japan
expert
wrestling.
Expert my ass.
Hey, Kevin, I want to tell you, brother, guess who picked all 11 matches correctly at Night of Champions this past weekend? Your boy, Tony. That's right.
Really?
Yes, I did, sir. Second time I've picked a pay-per-view completely correct this year.
I don't know who he picked, but he went 11-0, so that's impressive.
He's going to break his own arm fucking patting himself on the back.
Barry Horowitz style.
You went to Steve Lombardi School of Fantasy Sports Booking.
So how's things on the Kevin Gill end? You've been all over the place doing this JCW, and then, of course, you dropped this latest episode with Killer Cross. So things are going well for you, I assume.
Yeah, I feel really fortunate, man. And Game Changer Wrestling, I feel like, is the premier place. It's the platform, and you see all the people that start to make appearances there, the Jungle Boys, the Marco Stunts, the Joey Janelas. You know, it's a long list of talent that either gets a contract or kind of moves up to an entirely different kind of category of wrestler in terms of bookings and international bookings. So it's just amazing to see such an assortment of unique talent from all over. And to see these guys make magic, in some cases out of nowhere, in terms of a lot of these debuts. So just being along for that ride with the Game Changer team is an incredible, it's like a gift, you know what I mean? And as far as the Kevin Gill Show, yeah, I've been procrastinating too long, so it's back. last week, of course, you mentioned Killer Cross did what I thought was a really dope interview. He's a I coined him like he's the wrestling's most dangerous slash most interesting man. And this week you guys can have the worldwide exclusive. We're working on, it'll be out in a day or two, but no one knows who the guest is until right now. And it's All Elite Wrestling superstar Jungle Boy.
Nice. That's exciting. That's awesome. That's stuff. Nice get, so talking JCW, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 2. Unfortunately, you did not get to attend because I want to throw Delta under the bus. Is that correct?
United.
United.
Just to give credit where it's due. Yeah.
So you were dearly missed on commentary, but they filled in with what they could. I know Tom Lawler sat in on a couple matches, and they used a couple other guys. But I know you watched on the Fight TV app.
I did.
Give us, for those not familiar with the Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, kind of give us a little background. What exactly is it? Because it's not really, it's wrestling, but it's like wrestling and MMA have like this crazy, weird baby.
Yeah, it's a very unique vision. You know, it's again, from the minds of Game Changer Wrestling. When it started, it was Matt Riddle's Bloodsport as presented by GCW. And then when Matt Riddle moved on to NXT and Taunting Goldberg Online, the opportunity came for Josh Barnett and Game Changer to work together again. So I think that just kind of relaunched and reinvented what was already a successful event. And what it really is just, it's the most stripped down, it's pro wrestling in its purest form. So pure, like there's no ropes, there's no turnbuckles. It's wrestling, but like you said, it's so wrestling that it's like got a very strong MMA infusion in it. And obviously the talent is very MMA based, you know what I mean? In layperson terms. So it makes for incredible matchups and getting to see things like Simon Grimm versus Anthony Carelli, you know, to see, so it's just everything on that card. I loved it from the preliminary show, the free preliminary show they did that included two great matches that I felt like could have been on the main show, you know?
No, absolutely. And we saw Bloodsport first, where you guys had a women's match in the pre-show and one on the main show.
Yeah, how cool was that?
Unbelievable. If you just look at the card, and this is available on Fight TV, so you can go back and you can watch it if you want. You mentioned Anthony Carelli and Simon Grimm. Timothy Thatcher wrestled former Pancrase and MMA fighter, Manawa. I'm terrible with names, so just bear with
Manoa
me.
Manoa Man.
Davey Boy Smith, Tom Lawler, Killer Cross, and Nick Gage.
I spoke over you. Killer Cross and Nick Gage, absolutely effing brilliant.
Is there a more over wrestler than Nick Gage?
I don't think so. Not on the independents. He's magic. He's the most real wrestler there is, you know?
And then,
it's just amazing.
And then it made its way.
It's amazing to witness that and to feel that in the room, you know?
No, absolutely. I mean, you see the videos and people go apeshit for him. And then, of course, Killer Cross had a moment where he called out Batista, which is, that's pretty huge.
Yeah, just the reaction, even on pay-per-view, watching on Fight TV, the reaction in the room, the way the whole room just gasped, like it felt like being in Japan, you know, like just Bloodsport is such a unique presentation and such a unique format and put together in such a unique way that in terms of, you know, there's so, you know, I love New Japan, I love all these different wrestling products, but it's nice to have true variety. And I feel like that's something Game Changer delivers. And like, look at what they've done this year in terms of they did a studio wrestling show at a Tennessee or whatever in association with Wombat, running on both coasts, running in Japan, running the Bloodsport type event. You know what I mean? The backyard wrestling pay-per-view event. All these incredibly unique and outside-the-box events mixed with like the absolute cutting edge of wrestling and making new stars like Alex Zane. And, you know, it's really interesting to watch their product. And it's amazing just that Fight TV and Smartmark Video make it available to everyone, you know?
And you just brought up a point. I have two questions for you real quick. The first, obviously, is just basically kind of what we touched on. You know, the blood sports, the Joey Janela's Spring Break, the Escape from LA, like, all these, like, marketing-type shows that are just so genius and you don't see a lot of other companies market a show with this, with such a catchy like title to it, like these events. Who gets credit for that? Who comes up with all this stuff, and how does this machine just work?
To me, the game changer wrestling machine is Brett Lauderdale.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then Brett has a lot of people who help him in various facets, but at the end of the day, it's his vision. And that's what's so cool, is that his vision is completely on point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like, so it's so cool to be able to say that, because you know what I mean? So many things can influence how wrestling bookers put together shows and things like that. And it's more than just being a booker, because it's like you're the booker and the promoter. You know what I mean? You're the guy who puts up all the money, who makes everything fucking happen. Like, that's why there's shows on, you know, in Japan and L.A. and New York and Tennessee and Philly and New Jersey and Chicago, you know, coming up this weekend. I don't see anyone doing their kind of schedule and covering their kind of distance. And no one has their track record of making stars, I feel like, independently.
Brett's a fantastic guy. I've known him a lot. Ref Lauderdale, for Christ's sake, you know what I mean? Like, that's how you know Brett. But, and you mentioned an interesting name before. We talked about the Nick Gages, the Killer Crosses. An interesting name that you mentioned to me has always been Timothy Thatcher, and a guy.
Oh yeah.
And a guy that who we've seen work a bunch. We know he's arguably probably one of the best in the world. Do you have any insight into his head in terms of what he wants to gain out of professional wrestling? Because he just seems like a guy that. I don't know. I don't want to say he should be on a bigger level, because that sounds disrespectful to him, but he should, to me, should be a household name. And do you know if that's what he inspires to be or aspires to be?
Well, I know that Timothy Thatcher gave possibly one of the only interviews he's ever given in his career to the Kevin Gill Show, which could be peeped in the back catalog. And I don't think we broached that subject 100% head on, but I've always gotten the vibe that Tim Thatcher likes to wrestle Tim Thatcher style, you know what I mean? And there's places like WXW and for a long time Evolve, and you know, Tim often lives and works internationally. So I think Tim is doing what Tim wants to do, and I think that a lot of people are aware of Tim's ability and talent, but you know what I mean? I'm not sure what's next for Tim. You never know, and especially in today's wrestling climate, you know, Tim is pure wrestling, you know, through and through. I think he's one of the best lacing on a pair of boots in the world today.
I agree. I that's why I asked. I couldn't agree more with that at all.
So you mentioned
that. That's like partially my speculation too. You know what I mean? But that's how I feel. Like, I don't know.
You mentioned Kevin this weekend, Summit Park, Illinois, the Nick Gage Invitational, the fourth one. Gun to the head, who are you picking to win?
Ooh. Man, that's tough, because the thing is like a who's who of deathmatch wrestling. And, you know, I see Eric Ryan is listed in there. The last time I saw Eric Ryan, it was in Corican Hall, and someone was putting a weed whacker to the top of his bald head. You know, Schlack is in there. You know what I mean? The King Nick Gage is in there. Jimmy Lloyd is in there. You know, those to me all got to be front runners, but I can't sleep on Alex Colon, who's also got to be a front runner. But then you know how it is. Everybody wants to go to the next level. Everybody wants to break through. And people look at all the names I just mentioned as, you know, in a perfect world, they would be a stepping stone in a way. So there's always people gunning for that number one spot. So if I had to just pick one person, man, to me, fucking Nick Gage. And I think he's unstoppable because I don't think he's very happy with how things went down at Bloodsport. And I think he's going to send a message to the world on Saturday. That's my prediction.
It'll be streaming live.
A bloody, violent message that's streamed worldwide on Fight TV.
Yeah, streaming live Saturday. I'll tell you what, my pick, whoever wins the Mance Warner, Matt Tremont, Schlock match, that's who's going to win this, I think. Because those are some fucking heavy hitters right there.
They sure are. And, you know, I got to call some matches for Schlock over in Japan, too, for Game Changer, and he's just a fucking monster, like a monster beyond monsters. So, I mean, good luck to anyone that has to stand across the ring from that guy.
Absolutely. And you mentioned when we set this up and you said you wanted to call, and you mentioned the curtain call. I'm unfamiliar with what that is, so if you could just explain that. I may have missed something in my normal life of working.
Oh, well, it's the it's Game Changer Wrestling Presents Joey Janela's Curtain Call that's going down in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And it's the final night of Joey Janela on the Independence.
Oh, that's the Monday night show, right?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, yeah. That's once you rattle the skull, it all comes back to me now. Are you
that show's loaded too. Jungle Boy's gonna be there. Ethan Page, as played by Julian, he's gonna be there and probably recording his vlog.
I just actually spent this past weekend, I got to hang out with Joey just a bit. What is the independent scene losing when a guy like Joey Janela or a guy like Jungle Boy or even a guy like Marco Stunt and all these guys get signed to a big time company? What is going to be missing from now going forward without these guys?
I mean, I'll start with Joey Janela. You know, Joey Janela has had such an influence on independent wrestling, and people above a certain echelon of wrestling may not always understand it. Many of them do, but some people don't. But I can say from personal experience, yeah, the stuff he's done across his work, as well as his like viral ability, you know what I mean, which was the ability to go viral often, and then taking that and harnessing all that stuff with his ability to put his life on the line every time, and partnering up with Brett and the guys then at Game Changer, and doing the Janela Spring Break series, you know, and that thing then transcended everything he had done prior. You know what I mean? In terms of just establishing, I feel like him as a brand, and so he contributes so much in so many ways that I think he's obviously a big loss, but I don't think we've seen the last. Well, in fact, I know we have not seen the last of Joey Janela's Spring Break, because there's 100% one going down as part of the collective in 2020, you know, during the sports entertainment weekend. Right. So that shit is going to be off the chains. But yeah, but starting with him, and then guys like Jungle Boy, who were, you know, like have less of that fully national or worldwide exposure than Janela does, but like Jungle Boy, such a super baby face and so talented, he would be an amazing headliner all over the independents. And Marco Stunt, of course, is amazing. So yeah, the independents are losing a big chunk of their heart and soul. However, just like when, you know, there's been in previous generations when AJ Styles and right. Seth Rollins and X, Y, and Z and a million people all left the independents at once or switched companies in a major way. And every time wrestling has stepped up and delivered and filled the spots, so to speak, like there's always all these new people because of how advanced wrestling is now and the ability for people to watch it everywhere. I feel like there's this constant bleeding edge of new talent, and people like Game Changer and other places like Gorilla have a real spotlight into the future of wrestling, which is the current of wrestling, you know?
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely going to be, a loss for these guys, but like you said, bigger and better things for them. And of course, independent wrestling always seems to be okay. I mean, now more than ever, for sure. You mentioned like the previous guard, like AJ Styles, Joe, Daniel, like Tyler Black and all these guys. And it just seems like that it always ends up being okay. So I think we're going to be in good hands, and obviously we wish nothing but the best for those guys.
100%. And obviously then too, like I said, still the rub and the association of Joey Janela to still do Joey Janela Spring Break every year. That to me is an amazing benefit. So that to me is one way that AEW is giving back to the independents. And you know what I'm saying? That to me might be somewhat unprecedented in a way.
Do you see Game Changer kind of being like this newfound breeding ground for a company like AEW?
Well, I think so. If you look at all the people, it feels like every time someone's on a Game Changer pay-per-view, something happens. You know what I mean? Marco Stunt came out of the crowd and had an amazing match with KTB in New York. And instantly, like that night, he was booked for, or that night or in the, you know, in the wee hours of the morning, he was then booked for All In. you know, to be in the Battle Royal, yeah. or, you know, Jungle Boy got seen and was immediately put into Gorilla and also, you know, got signed. It feels like Jake Atlas's prominence has increased quite a bit since appearing. And obviously all these talents are beyond super talented, you know what I mean? But it's the idea that people are actually getting to see them performing, you know what I mean, at their highest level with pretty great production. And, you know, there's many more guys like that. The guys like Tony Deppen, who you see breaking out now and starting to wrestle all over, wrestling a Pentagon at Pro Wrestling yep. Guerrilla this weekend. You know, that's insane.
Long overdue for him, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he's incredible. But that's what I mean. It's just great. Like a rising tide lifts all boats. So I feel like some of the guys we mentioned and some of the guys that we're overlooking, I think a lot of people benefit from the platform. And I think as long as fans continue to support, that's the most important thing. If fans continue to buy the shows and buy the tickets and buy the merchandise, it allows companies like Game Changer or whoever your favorite independent company is to continue doing shows, you know, because it's not easy. You know what I mean? When you're kind of making it happen, there's no backing corporation. You know what I mean? It's not like Game Changer Wrestling is owned by Kentucky Fried Chicken or something, you know what I mean? Or by some,
that would be,
you know,
sick.
What I mean? Or like owned by Nabisco, you know what I'm saying? It's a completely DIY company. And like I said, for me, with my experience in wrestling and the different places I've gotten to work and all the wrestling I've gotten to watch and study over the years, like I just think Game Changer has something that is truly, it's game changing. Like I always say, like there's no one with a more appropriate company name in wrestling than Game Changer Wrestling, because they're somehow not restricted by traditional parameters in any way. And not only that, but then they deliver on even the most, what would seem to someone upon a casual observation to be ridiculous or impossible to pull off, and then just pull it off. Like that to me is an amazing, amazing thing and a groundbreaking way to look at pro wrestling.
No, absolutely.
And especially in a time where there's 900,000 hours of wrestling a week, it's nice that every week or two or 3 weeks or whenever there's a Game Changer show, you're getting a totally unique presentation for that night. It's not just like the show is here, it's going to be all the same stuff happening. You know what I mean? Like every show is a completely unique experience.
Sounds very much like the Kevin Gill show.
I try to make it fresh.
Available at KevinGillShow.com. We know you took a little hiatus, but you're back. And as we mentioned, the Killer Cross interview is sick. We highly recommend you check that out. And in case you're joining us late, breaking news, the next Kevin Gill show with Jungle Boy. I mean, come on. Who's got
that's a big guess.
The hottest wrestling talent? You know, it's either the Shining Wizards or Kevin Gill.
That's it.
And
without
this is
a
like,
doubt. And then you sprinkle in, too, for music fans. You know, I do a lot of interviews with bands. I did a two-parter before the hiatus with Lars from Rancid, with Damian Abraham from Fucked Up.
Oh, that's awesome.
A lot of cool people. And I got some cool music ones coming up, too.
Yeah, so keep a lookout, people.
You can't beat that. It's like
and
a
even better, it's even better to get it off iTunes and Audio Boom or whatever, because I'm overdue to renovate KevinGillShow.com.
There you go.
Fair enough.
iTunes.
And of course, Kevin Gill's on Twitter at OG Kevin Gill. Kevin, will you be in Chicago this weekend for Game Changer?
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Nick Gage Invitational 4 special attraction match, Tracy Smothers versus Marco Stunt. Are you fucking crazy? Of course,
God.
I'm going to be there. You would have to put bars on the doors and pigeon spikes on the windows to keep me out of that building.
Will you be out here in the old dirty jersey at the end of September?
For the curtain call? Again, I was at the curtain call at Madison Square Garden, so I understand possibly better than anyone else in the wrestling world the significance of the curtain call then and the significance of the curtain call now. And we are truly at a crossroads in this pro wrestling industry, my friends.
So you'll be there. Is what you're telling me.
Oh, yeah, brother. Write it down. Carve it into tablets. Bake it into a cake. Have a skywriter spell that shit out in front of the New York City skyline. And we could probably do it at a Bayonne or something, so you only have to pay like half as much.
All right. I could dig that. I could dig that because, you know.
Go for
you
it.
Know.
Get there, Matt. Or
no.
You. What was that?
No, we're good.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking. My brain just stopped working, so I got that going for me. So that's a good thing. Kevin, thank you for hitting us up and joining us tonight. And the invitation is open anytime you want to call in.
Always
welcome,
bro.
If you want to do like fucking every other week, KG calls in. We talk JCW. We talk Kevin Gill show.
JCW, too.
What'd I say?
JCW.
Oh, Juggalo Championship
Wrestling.
Well,
I know. I get that, too.
Come on.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Chop it up.
But you also mentioned JCW curtain call once earlier.
Did I? I'm such a fucking jerk off. GCW and JCW and everything else that Kevin Gill is involved in. We'd love to make it like a bi-weekly thing where you call in for a couple minutes and you have your own segment. And
that'd be sick.
We reach more ears and we build this beautiful friendship up into something bigger than the match made in heaven.
Hell yeah. Well, you guys have always been awesome, and I always appreciate the love and support of you guys, and it's awesome just to chop it up with you guys about wrestling. You know what I mean? So thank you for that, and I'll definitely be back with the quickness.
We appreciate it, and it's your fault that we're now friends with Kate, so we'll...
Right.
Know.
She's now a regular on the show.
Yeah, she's really just it's getting to her head. It's she's getting too big for her britches. It's, you know... Yeah.
Right?
Just like Demolition.
Well, yeah. I see now, she, as soon as she gets on the show, suddenly she's like, oh, I'm out in L.A., you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's changed.
Awesome. Yeah, we got to cut her. We got to cut
like,
her down to size.
Tofu vegan. Get this out of my face.
Awesome.
KG, a pleasure as always. Your shirt's going in the mail tomorrow, brother.
I still got my KG blue shirt with the Juggalo logo and everything.
Nice.
KG on the hat.
I got to do some new merch. I got some new flavor on the horizon.
So I just like it because
much love to everyone that loves wrestling, man. We'll see you on Fight TV this weekend for the Nick Gage Invitational. And even if you're watching at home, I suggest you wear goggles.
I like nice. It. Awesome. I like it, Kevin. It's been a pleasure. Again, OG Kevin Gill on the Twitter. Check out the Kevin Gill show. It's on iTunes. Audio Boom.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Just Google Kevin Gill show. Killer Cross episode is up now. Jungle Boy coming soon. Definitely what you want to listen to. And for all you music heads out there, go through Kevin's archives. He's got great interviews with the dudes from Rancid. It's just dynamite shit. He's preaching that PMA. He's living that life. He's living his best life. And it's a pleasure to say he's friends with the Shining Wizards. Kevin, thank you so much, man. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Much love, guys. Keep up the great work.
Woo woo.
You know it.
Woo woo.
Kevin Gill, everyone. Always a good time with the KG.
I was going to say, I just like wearing his shirt because it says KG and my initials are KG.
Of course.
So people always ask, is that your shirt? I'm like, yes.
Tony, you were very, very into that.
I was. I was doing my research. I was asking questions.
You were doing some research, all right, buddy.
I'm disgusted with myself that I've never been to a Game Changer
show. Are you disgusted that you've never done an Alabama Hot Pocket before?
Is that what you were researching? You freaking sick freak.
Have you,
do you
ever
know what a,
do you know what an Alabama Hot Pocket is?
No, but I heard Conrad and Bruce Pritchard talking about it.
Oh, that's right. That's where I got it from. Well, okay, well, I got a better one. Do you know what a Kentucky Klondike bar is?
Did you start Googling this when he said if Game Changer was sponsored by Kentucky Fried Chicken?
You didn't answer his question.
Yeah, you didn't answer.
What? No, I don't know what that is.
It's
hold on.
I don't want to know what that is. I have no desire to know what an Alabama Hot Pocket or a Kentucky...
Well, you know what an Alabama Hot Pocket is.
I do not know what an Alabama Hot Pocket is, nor do I want to know. Because Bruce Pritchard seemed very, very afraid of it when he Googled it.
Well, the Kentucky Klondike bar is not so bad.
Let it rip, Tony.
The art, or the act, sorry.
No, I don't want to know.
Art form of freezing a bowel movement and then using it to sexually penetrate another person.
I like how Kevin took off his headphones like he wouldn't be able to hear.
Boom, 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 boom.
And the
boom,
Alabama boom. Hot Pocket is when you poop in someone's vagina, right?
In the vagine. And then you squish it out.
Ugh. I don't know why anyone would want
to
do
that. Sounds
like
you're putting a spoon into a jar of mayonnaise. Kevin Gill joined us.
Are you guys done?
Like with the show? No.
No, talking about what you were talking about.
Yeah, about the Alabama.
Yeah, yeah. You guys done with that?
You want to learn what the Panamanian petting zoo is?
Yes.
All right. You have somebody pick the nuts and the corns out of your shit, and then they put them in a cup or a dish, and then you feed them to the person like a petting zoo animal.
All I heard was dish.
I hate your guts!
That is...
Why are we talking about this?
I don't know. You fucking looked it up, dude.
Some of these are just dumb. No, I was on my phone because I started getting invitations from Duke the Dumpster to join his watch along for
that
horror
gore
movie.
Group?
Yeah.
I got that, too.
Did you get the watch along? They're watching Motel Hell, which is a great movie, by the way.
I got it as soon as we finished talking about him, so I thought that was a little weird.
I was like, that's ironic.
Maybe he's listening.
There's no chance he's listening.
No, he's not listening.
It's possible.
Duke, if you're listening, call in. Skype should still be open.
So,
848-6-WIZ.
What's happening on SmackDown right now?
Oh, boy.
Is the New Day defeated Randy Orton and the Revival, and right after that, Paul Heyman came out with Brock Lesnar, and they will be challenging Kofi Kingston on the first episode of SmackDown October 4th.
But they don't have any kind of, like, briefcase or anything.
So?
He just comes out and challenges? And
Tony, you do know that wrestling existed before briefcases.
Yeah, but who is he? He hasn't been around in months.
It's fucking Brock Lesnar.
This is another thing that...
Let's go, Tony.
This is another thing that Jay... No, shut up.
They challenged and Kofi accepted.
Shut up, because Kofi's an idiot.
He's a fighting champion. He's got pancakes
in his drawers, that's why. Maybe he's going to throw pancakes at Heyman so he gets distracted so he eats the pancakes. I got pancakes in my mouth.
That'd be pretty funny.
They taste so dry, they need syrup, they talk to me. Kevin went back to the well.
I did.
And you know what? I like it. I like it again.
Thank you very
much,
Tony.
It's topical. Oh! JR brought up a good point. Remember when WCW used to do the rankings, the top tens?
Yes.
I think they should bring that back.
No.
And I tell you why. It gives people reasons to wrestle each other instead of doing 50-50 back and forth bullshit on these programs.
Why are you shaking your head, Kev?
I disagree because it kind of reminds people like someone's a scrub, like someone's a 10th ranked guy. Someone loses matches all the time.
Because Terry Funk wasn't even ranked, and he had to earn his way into the title picture. And when he beat Ricky Steamboat, he became the number one contender and was allowed to challenge Ric Flair. Remember that story when he challenged Flair?
All right, so say right now Cedric Alexander is the 10th ranked guy on this top 10.
Yes.
So all of a sudden he gets a challenge.
No, he might have a match against number 8. I don't know, pick another guy from SmackDown. Xavier Woods, just say. And he beats Xavier Woods. Now he gets to move up the ladder. Say somebody.
So just because one time you beat a number 8 guy, you become number 8?
No. Say number 7 lost to somebody else. Now maybe he moves up to number 7 the next week.
It's very much like a college basketball football ranking system.
Yeah, but instead of like now you just have to play like some unranked team, like now you move up the ladder.
But that's subjective. People have to judge that.
No.
In college, yeah, there's a board that judges your ranking.
Yeah, but even that, people don't agree with that.
It's wrestling.
So it's the same thing. It's subjective.
It's wrestling. It's wrestling.
I just remember the top 10s from PWI.
Right. If there's a, let's say, Angelico, Jack Evans against Best Friends, it's just a tag match. Yeah. Now, if you throw a ranking in there, right, it gives it more of a real sports feeling. I think that's what Tony's trying to...
And it's Insta stories. It's like, why are these teams wrestling each other? Because there's a rank on the
line.
But
as much as we criticize lazy booking, isn't that lazy booking? Why don't we just stick a number on them?
No.
No, because if your rankings are based on their records, like wins and...
I think that's too sportish. Wrestling's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's too sportish.
Yes, but would you rather watch something where you're invested in it, or would you want to? Do you give a shit who got Maria Kanellis pregnant? We all know it's fucking Mike Bennett because kayfabe's fucking dead.
And maybe she went up 2 points in the
rankings. That's a whole different argument, I think.
Right, but that's entertainment. I don't want that. I want something that has a little more meat on the bone.
Well, then maybe AEW is probably going to be for you then, I guess.
Yes, because I don't watch fucking shitty Monday Night Raw or shitty SmackDown or shitty WWE unless I hear about The Fiend. But even that looks like it's going to blow up in WWE's face.
You think they're going to ruin that?
If
history is a guide,
if
he doesn't beat
Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell,
there's no point.
The internet's going to explode.
You're right. They really handcuffed themselves, I think, with this.
He has to win.
He has to win. I agree with you. But will he?
Wait, who has to win?
The Fiend.
Of course he has to
beat Rollins at Hell in a Cell.
Oof.
What did you think we were talking about?
I was looking for a going home. I'll be honest, wasn't paying attention.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, no, the Fiend has to get a win. It was the same thing with Eric Rowan going against Roman Reigns. That's why I picked him. What's the point of having him beat him up and do all this nonsense?
I didn't
if he's
know
he's not going to get a win.
I'll plead guilty on this one. I didn't know that they had this huge a plan for Eric Rowan. I did not know that. I did not think that.
I was super excited to see Luke Harper back.
And, yeah, that and was now, cool as shit. And the crowd was too.
I was also surprised we didn't see Daniel Bryan in that as well. And I think now we're going to get Harper and Rowan, Daniel Bryan, Roman.
Well, that was my original thought, that Daniel Bryan maybe was the one supporting Eric Rowan all
Me
the
too.
Time. Putting up face, you know.
Because we never got the Daniel Bryan-Roman Reigns match.
No.
Which I don't think we're going to get. I think they're going to turn Daniel Bryan babyface again. And you're going to see Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns
Daniel
against
Bryan's
Harper and Rowan.
Daniel Bryan's so much better as a heel, though.
No, it's a toss-up for me. I love babyface Daniel Bryan.
I loved heel Daniel Bryan telling everybody that they have to fucking start eating vegan and recycling stuff. And he brought out the hemp belt and all that. That was cool shit.
No, it was. Don't get me wrong. Daniel Bryan is amazing at every.
No, he's really good at
any
both.
Role that he's been put in. He's been great at.
He's good at both. But yeah, I do agree. Maybe the Fiend's going to be the one. He already barreled through Lesnar. Well, I mean, he beat Lesnar twice, by the way. And wow. Now he beat
Strowman.
Strowman, yeah. So, I mean, once you beat those two guys, who's left? You got to give him somebody fresh, and you got to make it interesting.
If you beat those guys, you're basically saying that he's going to be the champion forever, unless, like, a Bray Wyatt comes in and...
And the Fiend... Like, that whole Firefly Funhouse thing, it reminds me of, like, the whole Elsagate thing on YouTube when the people were putting out the creepy videos to try to get kids to watch them, but they were really fucking awful things in the videos. You ever hear about that?
No, I know.
Like, that's been gone, but this reminds me of that, and it just fucking... It creeps me out, like, on a fucking deep level.
Does Bray
like, when they were stopping shit, slowing the music down, speeding it up.
And he does his, like... Bray Wyatt voice, and then he flips over to the Fiend voice.
It's really creepy.
It's
shit.
Awesome.
I don't know if you guys watched Raw. They had like the Titantron was like upside down for like
yes.
the first.
Yeah, like all the match announced. The first couple well, match announcements were upside down.
When I noticed it the first time, I was like, "Wow, they fucked up." But apparently, it was part
yeah. Later on, they did it a few more times sporadically through the show, which is cool.
But this, do you guys think? And this could be you mentioned nitpicking. This could be me nitpicking. Does Bray Wyatt like? The Fiend as a champ, like, can you see him as like, does he need a championship belt? Because that character is so like.
Don't forget too. Last time they put the title on Wyatt, they took it right off of him again at WrestleMania
against Randy Orton.
Yeah,
but like,
and he won the Hell in
that's a different character. That this guy is like that character needed the belt to me. This is just like
yeah, but if he doesn't need the belt, why are you putting him in there with Seth Rollins?
That's my question.
Unless there's like a weird schmoz with Braun Strowman getting involved.
And now maybe it leads to a Bray Braun feud.
Fucking triple threat nonsense.
Or do we see an emergence of another heel or babyface?
Sister Abigail?
Like Finn's been gone. Does the demon come back and interfere in this? The last time you saw Finn.
I didn't think about
that. The Fiend took him out. I didn't even think about it until Stupid said Sister Abigail.
Which
Stupid. Thanks, Dick.
Takes a complete. Like, I can't think of that name. My niece's name is Abigail. I can't think of that name.
So, look, the only way they win here in this Hell in a Cell is if the Fiend wins or the demon comes out and stops the Fiend from winning.
Like, I feel like I agree with you 100%.
Because then you get this weird, like, they tried it with Sister Abigail and the demon and it didn't work. And now the Fiend versus the demon.
I would like that. You know, like you said, we haven't seen Finn in a while.
And then the Fiend still saves face. He doesn't win the title and the internet's still going to fucking cry about it. But now he's in this weird, like.
He's such a character to me that, like, he would look awkward with a championship belt. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, he's like almost to, if you want to go back to like talking about Kane, like he's the only character I can really think of to compare it to. Like, how would he interact? Like, how would like going back to like the terms of like wrestling being sportish? Like Bray Wyatt with a championship belt, worrying about number one contenders and who's the best challenger, as opposed to just being a freak, is weird to me. So that's why I think he deserves. I think he should win just to keep his character 100% strong. But I totally agree with if he loses the match in some sort of weird thing with Finn or somebody.
Or maybe he just, in the middle of the match, has, like, his druids come out and they kidnap Seth Rollins and they take him to the back and they fucking, what happened to Seth Rollins, you know?
Eh?
And then he's not on Raw.
And then maybe he's not on Raw the next week, and they go, well, what are we going to do? We're going to strip him of the title? Like, what's going on? And then finally he comes back, and he's, like, all, like, bandaged up, and he's all beat up, and it turns out he was, like, fucking handcuffed to a radiator at the Firefly Funhouse, and they were beating the shit out of him for, like, weeks at a time. And then he's all fucked up in the head, and, like, he loses his shit. And then you have the big blow-off match.
Oh, and then
match.
He gets lost in Cleveland? Great.
No, then they have the big blow-off match. Like, now he's out for revenge, but then he,
is
like...
Is that a Cactus Jack reference?
It was.
Yeah, of course. All right. But then he's, like, holding up objects, and it's, like, freaking Seth Rollins out, because that's the shit they were using to, like, molest him in the basement.
So you're telling me, like, now you're saying that, in your head, Seth Rollins is now a weird freako-creepo too?
Only because the Fiend kidnapped him, and
does
they stuck him in the
Stockholm Syndrome?
Yes.
It's like Jim Hurd, everybody. Jim Hurd is now a member of the now, Shining Wizards. Yeah. Do you want to?
Well, I don't hate it. I'm not going to lie to you.
Cut his hair, too?
Yeah. Shave his balls?
Become the Trojan Man?
Yeah. Trojan. I want to see him come out with the fucking Borat bikini on, too.
Trojan Man.
My wife. Nice.
And my wife.
Oh, no. Becky Lynch goes on an adventure to save him.
Oh
my.
Great.
An adventure.
Fuck it. We're going on an adventure. Oi, oi. Her and Charlotte. She's like, I don't like you, but I need you. And they do that whole, like...
A flare
like,
for the gold?
They do that whole... No, they do the whole Taz Bam Bam Bigelow thing where he's like, I'm not going to be your partner. I'm going to be your savior. Come on, that'd be funny
I'll
shit.
I'll give Charlotte credit for running down the ramp last night with those high
Why,
heels.
Dude? I'm glad you brought that up. What nonsense is that? I'm like, she's going to break her neck. Why is she wearing jeans and sweaters anyway? She looks better in a sweater, by the way. But why is she wearing... Maybe it was Cass's sweater.
She's got them hitters, bro.
Right, fucking sweater heavy, weather. Heavy swing.
I just caught that.
What, the Cass joke?
Yes.
Steal my sweater. Fucking Ric Flair Jr.
Can't teach that.
Oof, they're going to do a fucking... They said on Raw last night they're doing a draft, and the wild card rule is done.
Dunzo.
Good. Thank God.
Dunzo Magunzo.
So I guess you have that to look forward to.
Ooh, I got to go in home before you do your banger.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if you guys caught it. Are you guys Gears of War fans?
No. Bautista?
Oh, Gears 5, Mr. Bautista. I guess he's playing a character called Marcus Fenix. I have no idea about Gears 5, but that's what it says here.
It's a great going home. Better than mine, because I don't have one.
Well, I mean, it ties in a little bit to video games, you know? I mean, we haven't had a real good wrestling video game to talk about, so we might as well mention it. And they were plugging it on Night of Champions as well.
Wow, nice.
So good for Mr. Bautista. So he's got Killer Cross, and he's got some fucking video game money to throw around.
There you go. Go out of your way to watch New Japan World. Robbie Eagles and Will Ospreay against Taji Ishimori and El Fantasmo for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championships. Maybe the best tag match I've seen this year.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be able to miss them this weekend when they fucking wrestle for the Kobe Beef Championship.
Fucking, that was the banger of the night. Your boy Tanahashi lost his British championship back to Zack Sabre
Jr. I was surprised
Jr.
that he even won the damn thing.
He did. We're on our way to World Tag League. I finally caught up on the fucking J Cup. I finally watched the Royal Quest. New Japan's fucking killing it. They're coming here in 2 weeks. I'm excited to see New Japan Pro Wrestling Fighting Spirit at the Hammerstein.
Yeah, you're going to see Jay White, the fucking loser, after he loses to Naito this weekend. Kevin, you got to go in banger?
We didn't even talk. Your fucking homegirl, Selena De La Renta, she's cashing that ticket in, bitch.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that. All right, real quick, I enjoyed it.
I thought, it had a big fight feel.
It did.
The announcer did a great job. I like seeing Kevin Von Erich there.
What was that fucking mummy in all black that Kevin put the claw on? And he didn't do it so great, but I'll give him a pass.
The last member of Contra.
Is there five people in Contra now?
No, there's four.
Yeah, but who was the guy in all black?
Who was he? That's a good question.
Ooh, maybe it's Sami Callihan coming back.
No, in Contra?
I don't know. He's the draw. Kevin, speaking of draws, what you got?
Matt, what do you got? Oh,
he did his banger.
What do I want? Our friends who were in the studio a couple weeks ago, LAX, actually wrestled at the theater at Madison Square Garden this past Sunday night.
Oh, for AAA?
LAX was there for AAA. Chris Dickinson was there. Jay George, who was here last week, was apparently there. So props to those guys for being involved. I hear Cain Velasquez had a huge, successful in-ring debut. I haven't seen the show yet, but it will be on Axis, where fucking Impact's going to be, and we didn't even get to talk about that.
I think that's the bigger
Holy
story of
shit.
The week.
All right, you got 30 seconds on it?
Impact will be on Axis.
Well, because Anthem bought Axis TV.
Yes.
Yes.
So there
after Bound for Glory.
So now what's going to happen with WOW and New Japan?
Don't know. They cut a lot of employees. They had a lot of layoffs.
They cut a lot of the MMA people.
Yeah. So we don't know. We know that Access is going to be airing the AAA show that happened at Garden, at least parts of it. So.
Is that a good sign, though? You've just bought a network and now you're cutting staff?
I mean, you already have your own staff.
I don't know. Oof.
Anthem is a way bigger company than I ever thought.
Oh, yeah, of course. But, yeah. You know, not everybody should have a network.
Well, I mean, they don't.
Well, I mean, the Shining Wizards have a network, but our network's been running for fucking 7 years.
Oh, right? Late breaking news.
Uh-oh.
AEW has revealed their tag team tournament brackets.
Oh, wonderful.
On the right side, Best Friends against SCU. The winner of that match faces the Dark Order, who successfully got the bye.
Yeah, which they should have just had that match as part of the tournament anyway, but whatever. I'm not looking at it.
And then that's on the right side. And then on the left side, Young Bucks Private Party, Lucha Bros against Jurassic Express.
Ooh, oh, Mamacita. Man.
Good God.
Are we picking that?
Are we picking the tag
tournament? Are we picking a tag tournament?
Not tonight.
We're not picking a tag tournament.
You got closing music?
Ooh, yes.
Let's get out of here.
Shout out, Pat Buck, Joey Janela.
Stay tuned if you're listening live on the Rant, Rant DM Radio. Of course, we didn't even plug him at the beginning because it was such a special, glorious, perfect day for me. 11-0, and don't forget it. And I got nothing else to say. Stay tuned for the Rant. The Rant is coming up next. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for the downloads. Thanks for the love. Don't forget to join us on Patreon. And fuck Jay White. I'm out.
Your new IWGP Intercontinental Champion. Don't
Hell
turn me off.
Hell no. To
Don't
the no,
turn me
no,
off.
No.
Look at him. He's so
white. He dies in a fire.
That's fucking rude.
I don't give a shit. No, it's not. That's Jay White. He's a piece of garbage.
Ishimori El Fantasmo against Robbie Eagles. Will Ospreay. Banger of the week, people. Yeah, banger of the week.
Chin.
Tony, you didn't have a banger of the week from Night of Champions, Clash of Champions.
Yeah. I'll tell you what it is right now.
Was the Alabama Hot Pocket he just ate.
Hey, Kev, you ever bang somebody with a frozen feces?
Good night, motherfuckers.
See you next Tuesday.
8 years.